So, Yanni, you are a robot. You live in a robot city. You have a robot girlfriend, and you go to robot school. You wake up one morning and eat your robot pancakes and pet your robot dog, go outside and get in your totally organic car. And as you are driving to school, suddenly you get the strangest feeling. It's a feeling. What do you do?
I beep boop bop podcast magic missile.
So, when last we left our Ruthless Invaders, you guys were...
That's true, we don't have anyone named Ruth.
Hightailing it out, note to self, add NPC named Ruth. Hightailing it away from the LZ with some bogeys in pursuit.
Two varieties of bogeys, in fact, if I remember correct.
Yes, X-card.
We have the bumpers and then what were the other ones?
Zingers. So, you guys can hear the zingers long before you see them, which I believe was the last thing I said before. So, engagement will not necessarily be totally imminent. So, are we having you guys, I'm trying to remember if the mechs are transported on board one of the walkers, or if you guys just walk them?
I'm assuming we're walking them.
Okay.
Yeah, from the
partially side. For protection, mm-hmm. And also partially just because.
I think
the transport broke down at the dropship.
Well, then I have a question about my garage.
The garage probably is not quite so much a garage as a mobile workbench.
Okay.
With a lot of power tools.
Right, fair enough.
So does that answer the question? Did I cut you off too early? I'm sorry.
I was just going to read off the tags it had, but which is well supplied and I have assistance. So, I mean, a mobile workbench, maybe one of the Jeeps can, when stopped, deploy and become a proper garage with gantries and stuff.
I mean, maybe it can do that while walking. Maybe it has really tall legs and can, like, drop a little crane down.
Okay. I mean, it's your call. I'm not super particular. There's two versions of the move, one for in the field and one for in the garage.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, you couldn't do it to fix something while you were in the middle of a fight.
Right.
But the point is, this isn't necessarily, even though you're in your mech, this is not necessarily deployment. This could be downtime. Though, of course, if you guys want to, you could also try and head back to intercept the zingers. Mm-hmm. The tactical considerations of that, he said, addressing the ranking officer, are that... So let me tell you guys a little bit about thumpers and zingers, because all of you know this. They are very commonly encountered enemies on the battlefield. In fact, all of you have probably fought them except you. Have you seen combat?
Well, I would have seen them, and I haven't. So I'm just a scout usually, so
right.
No.
Okay. So thumpers are about 100 feet tall at the arch of their spine. They've got six legs, and they're sort of dinosaur shaped. They're something like a brachiosaur, but with no neck or head. It's about 50 feet from the ground to their belly, but hanging off of that belly is a gigantic bio-artillery cannon. Inside their body, they, like, secrete a big ball of explosive and then fire it. It's got a range of somewhere in the ballpark of 100 miles. And when it lands, it is for taking out large, hard targets.
It's bioplasma.
None of you could survive a direct hit from this thing. Like, it could probably blow your entire convoy away if it were to land one right in the middle of you. Fortunately, you've got a good long lead time on them because, you know, you guys' scopes can see a very long way. So, when the Marines saw them coming, it was like, time to go! But the point is that there's sort of a... and you could probably triangulate their exact position. So you guys can sort of see the red line as it moves towards you and you, you know, will want to stay outside of it. You guys don't necessarily have to fight. You could just try to stay ahead, which would be functionally downtime because you wouldn't be actually fighting them.
I mean, I feel like we should try to run away from them for a bit because that's what we'd probably try to... They're big and they're scary.
Zingers are like throwaway infantry to mice. You fight them a lot. They're not terribly scary on their own, but they are fast. They're a sort of bipedal biomech, about on par with the size of the rest of yours. And they are fast. They can fly short distances, sort of like a grasshopper. They run and then jump and like have boosters that keep them airborne over a period, but they can't hover indefinitely. what they might be trying to do in this situation, the fact that you can hear them means they're much closer than their charge that they're escorting. They might be trying to head you off to stall you long enough for the thumpers to get in range. But that would take them a long time. If they come within range of you, they're going to start suffering casualties needlessly because their longest range weapon is a close range weapon. What they do to fight is they basically have like stabby blade arms, so they're mostly melee. But those arms are wreathed in a acid kind of, you know, mucus that they can flick at you. So they'll run around and be like, and throwing waves of slime in your direction. But again, that's pretty close range. It's not quite melee range, but it all of you, or if you have a ranged weapon at all, any human ranged weapon outranges these guys, and there's no sense in them, you know, just dying. So they'd have to go around you very, very wide. So you'd have a lot of time before they cut you off.
So relative speaking, and that would, like, if they were, like, if we were all the size of us, like the range of like a wet dog.
Farther than that, I mean, okay. They are designed for the purpose. They probably have some fluting that lets them throw it a little bit farther. Is there a specific cutoff between close and medium range in this?
You mean close and very close? Or close and medium?
What are the categories again of range?
Melee, very close, far, and very far.
It would be very close.
Very close is basically like medium right now. Like this gap. If we were the men.
Well, what's close then? Closest handgun range?
Yeah.
Okay, so very close is like a flamethrower?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Think of close as submachine guns and handguns.
Okay. So yeah, this would probably be very close. It doesn't have the kind of range of a... It doesn't have the range of a handgun. But it probably... They can probably get you 30 feet away.
Well, that's a...
Well, this is our scale, remember?
Right, yeah.
So. Yeah, when you're in a 15-foot... When you're a 15-foot guy. So it can get you about two body lengths away. A 12-foot attack for someone in our scale. Anyway, the point is, they'd have to... when they come at you, they come right at you. Okay. And they use their speed advantage. If they're trying to head you off, they're going to have to go the long way around to stay out of her range. So you guys have time. You could take time to prepare, even try and set an ambush or a trap or something like that.
Do I have the longest range here?
I thought I had the longest range.
Oh, okay, maybe you didn't.
Are you a sniper?
No, but I've got a far-range weapon.
Oh, then yeah, you do.
I thought you had an artillery cannon.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I have all close-range weapons here.
Yeah. Oh, never mind.
Now, I do have a missile battery that does area effect, but...
Mm-hmm. Now, they're not that throwaway.
Is it far, or...?
No, it's close. I think so, yeah.
So, you know, they're not to be taken lightly. Their primary weapon is a 3-damage weapon. So that's certainly something to be feared. In fact, you guys probably just know enough to know their stats. So the acid is 2 damage, the stabbing weapons are 3 damage, and they have 1 armor.
Okay.
Just to give you a sense of how scary they are. The one wrinkle that they do have, which is really annoying, is you guys have mechs that are a combination of metal and biological. Zingers seem to come in 2 varieties. They seem to come mutated for metal destruction and mutated for bio destruction. The acid is dangerous to both, but if you're in a full metal jacket like you, and you run into a bio-rigged zinger, you're in much less danger from the acid. It gets -1 damage against you, period. If you are very strongly one or the other, and they're coming at you with the wrong one. The trick with this is there is no way to tell until they hit you. They are always mixed in with each other. There's no obvious coloration difference or behavior difference. Certainly when they're deployed against a known force, they'll show up with large numbers of the appropriate counter for that known force. But those of you who are... Because you two are highly mixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably not going to benefit either, or you're going to take full damage from either of them. You two will have a slight advantage against just the right type. So when you see them in... When one of them hits you and does full damage, you might be like, Badger, this one's you! Anyway, so that's what zingers are like. Oh, and they get their name from the noise they make when they take off. It's really, really loud, and it carries over long distances.
All right.
And just goes zing! So, let's start with our commanding officer. Do you have a idea in mind for how to handle this?
I have a plan of action already.
Okay.
I'm the commanding officer, so it's my way or the highway. The solution is simple. We're heading toward the densely forested area because we want to get out of range of those thumpers. That's where we're going. We cannot engage an opponent at that scale. We're an infiltration force, not a combat force.
Yes, it's worth mentioning, you do not know their quantity. Zingers are hard to count at distance. They, you know, are always weaving through each other, but it will probably be dozens at least.
Are they atop or in
grooves?
They're actually not in the groove area yet. They're far away from you, so they're not on that same terrain yet. When they get to it, the thumpers will just easily step over the gorges.
Right.
And the zingers will just jump over them. Oh, it should also be mentioned that thumpers can climb walls.
Okay.
They do have that chameleon stickiness, which is impressive considering how heavy they are.
But I guess they have lower gravity there, don't they?
Well, they also can't climb a wall that couldn't support them.
Well, no, but I mean, in general, is the world of lower gravity?
Yes.
Yeah. This is something that big I can see.
They have big, flat feet that are sticky.
Oh, that's cool. So, sorry to be like this.
Do it.
So, I'm just going to pretend there's a north and a south and an east and west, because we talked about this earlier.
I actually meant to draw a map for you guys, but was too busy at the store today. I was going to give you an exact scale of, like, where the bad guys were versus where you were and what
the different versions. Oh, the range of their cannons.
Yep. So, let's say, like,
Considering we're on fire right now.
Okay. Around here. I'm just going to draw one little stick figure.
Mm-hmm.
Are they to the... What direction would they be coming?
Let's not say east, north, and west because, you know, that's a little bit weird on this planet. Let's say the direction of the smoke plume.
Okay.
Because that
Why would that be weird?
They might have different magnetic...
Yeah. If the planet doesn't rotate on a fixed axis, if it wobbles...
Yeah.
Like,
does it?
Like a lot of moons do. So, especially in a free body system.
Hmm?
It does. I feel like that's something we would know.
Yeah.
So, well, smoke plume.
You need a degree in astrophysics to actually understand the rotation of this planet.
The plume!
But someone more knowledgeable on the subject would be like, hey, by the way, it's weird. Don't try to use north, south, east, west.
Yes, if one of you had TagNet, you would know when night was going to fall and when it wasn't going to, and when the sun was going to rise. Or when Triumph was going to rise.
Okay, so if I put a smoke plume there, and I put me here, with all of our thingies here, with the corally stuff...
They're more or less heading at you from about here.
Okay.
They're heading at you from the opposite side of the smoke plume. This was the good news, remember? When you saw them, it was like, okay, bad news is there's thumpers coming for us, but the good news is they're flushing us in the direction we wanted to go anyway, which was towards the wreckage of the fist.
And you said essentially that over here is the densely forested area, and over here is the open... craggy area where there was not much bioactivity.
Yes.
So that makes my choice quite easy. We're going to the densely forested.
I don't know how I feel about going to an alien forest on a planet full of organic organisms, half of which want to kill us.
You need comfort.
Here's a simple solution, is that's where we're going, because that's where they can't kill us the most efficiently.
Yes, sir.
Here's another thought. They may not be coming for us. They may be coming for our compatriots. Because they're heading towards us, but they're also heading towards the crash site.
We won't be able to help them if we're dead.
That's true, but I'm actually in favor of angling away from a bit, letting them pass by and then ambushing them.
I don't think we should bother engaging.
That's what I'm saying completely, and if we take shelter in the forest, we can lose them.
Alien forest. Do you really, really think it's a good idea to go there?
Hey, this entire planet is alien forest.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at relatively empty wasteland over there.
Where they can fire at us with their long-range artillery cannons.
Faster. We can stay ahead. Plus, I'm inclined to think that he's right, that they're going for our compatriots.
But still, if our compatriots are injured, they may not be able to mount a appropriate defense.
Well,
maybe easy pickings.
We still need to reach them safely if we get over. We should just listen to Strike 5.
Exactly. I'm your commanding officer. This is how it's going now. We can lose them in the forest. These zingers can catch us.
And we can take them.
We don't know their number. What if they're 20 to 1? We're leaving for this tower right now. I'm obviously trying to manipulate. So, that is a whopping 5, though.
Uh-oh.
So, what's that?
So you haven't convinced us.
Yep.
It's 5 on the dice. What is the stat you apply to manipulate heart?
Style.
Style. What's your style?
0.
Oh.
So it's a 5 on the dice.
I'm not a very good commanding officer.
I see.
I think in that case, I'm going to get in your face because you're just saying we're going to do this and not listening to me when I'm telling you, you know, I mean, hell, we've got a scout here who could go and find out their numbers, and we could figure out if it's 5 of them, which we could wipe in no time, or 500, in which case we should run like hell.
But, does everyone remember what they were tagged for last time?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, that's an advancement for me, too, because I rolled on them, even though I failed.
Yes.
Success.
That is a 12.
Oh, my.
So, we should investigate alternatives before we just go off and blindly do stuff. On 10 plus, you do what I want, or I hurt you.
I may not have thought this through.
Let's have a timeout. There is going to be something that has to happen for the sake of the story because they are threatening a commanding officer. Mm-hmm. Just from a, this is me telling you, it's like a...
Well, it depends on how threatening it actually is. Well, it's not a, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah. Well, the point is they're being a dick to their commanding officer.
Well, our commanding officer's trying to get us killed. I'm inclined to believe to follow Rocket here. Like, well,
but do I'm you think sure. that... He's, I'm saying from a story perspective.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely.
That a... Right.
Well, I'm not...
He does have the choice of what to do here.
No.
Yes.
Explore alternatives. Do you know how quickly zingers move?
Yeah.
Starfish. Before. Have you ever outran a stinger before?
No, but I've never had to.
How confident do you feel in finding out?
Does your mech have the fast... There's a fast tag, right?
Well, I'm not fast, but I'm sneaky. I couldn't outrun it, but you can hide from them. They're not...
I've killed them before. They're not that brave.
I've killed them too, Badger. They're not that dangerous, but the problem is that if they delay us, the things that can kill us all in one shot are around the corner.
So we make sure we're not standing within 10 feet of each other. We're fine.
Have you not seen a thumper hit a building before? It's not 10 feet.
Point is,
thumper will destroy everything.
If, as long as we don't clump up and we keep the convoy moving. I'm not saying we should stop necessarily. I'm just saying we shouldn't necessarily run into the forest. And like Rocket pointed out, may possibly explore other options.
What are the other options?
There's...
Find out what our forces are.
Well,
our enemy forces are.
Also, going different directions in the fucking alien forest.
This why are we going different directions in the forest? Why wouldn't we stick together in the forest?
At ease. This... is what the satellite image, or excuse me, the satellite, I'm used to working with satellites. Oh, this is what our drop pod images got us when we were coming in. There is a lightly populated forest, but it's more densely populated than this barren, open plain that Badger seems to want to go to. I don't know about you, but typically when something outranges me, I don't want open line of fire, Badger. Do you like open line of fire?
We can move faster. We already outrange it. We're faster than we can stay ahead.
Faster than the...
But...
No.
Than the thumper, yes.
We're not faster than the zippers, though. Zingers. Whatever.
The stupid bugs we can just shoot as they show up.
Okay, but if they are able to harry us long enough, we will not be able to escape, Azure. Yes,
you know,
selfish.
This isn't preschool. You don't have to raise your hand.
Go fuck yourself. I'm going to go ahead.
Go
let me find out how many there are.
Yes.
I was thinking we might could make a few modifications to your mech before you go. Could do a little bit more speed boost.
Not going to be enough speed boost for what we needed. Zinc pipes. Don't need that. Sneaky. Come on. Let's go.
I was thinking more like a one-use thrust pod so you can get away if you get discovered. And then theoretically high.
You want to stick that in Freddy?
Well, on.
Well,
wait, are we sticking in Freddy? Oh, wait, sorry.
Don't need it. Pharrell and I were working on a thing. It should keep me hidden. And then Freddy can hide. He's good at hiding.
Alright.
It'll be fine. It'll be good.
There is one thing we can do. And it's something that you were not told about before we came here. Command installed additional equipment in all of our mech. But it requires a command override code. But it's finicky.
Why wasn't I notified?
Because you weren't need to know yet. Just a time out of character. I'm trying to use my ranking officer power right now.
Okay.
Which is, I can make a +4 roll to, if I succeed, I can get some additional perks. If I fail, I lose all of my pool with command.
Okay.
Sweet.
Ideal. So, Starfish, I do believe that a speed enhancement was part of Freddy's
package.
I'm going to give you the codes, as long as command...
There's a band name.
What?
Freddy's package.
That probably already is a band name.
Probably.
With those other mice on the planet.
Band name.
So, yeah. Time to see if it paid off. That is a 10.
All right.
So, immediately before deployment, made +4 on a 10 plus pick 2.
So I guess this is a deployment then, if you're going into action.
I kind of assumed it would be since she's getting close to...
All right. Well, so, how does the system handle asymmetrical deployment, if at all? Because it would not be a good idea. If the plan is for Freddy to go out there and not get detected, it would be a bad idea. I guess I can have you guys do downtime while Freddy does deployment.
That's kind of like you don't have to. It's somewhat team oriented, but it's not strict.
It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a 30-minute mission.
No.
With one person, you probably resolve it a lot quicker.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably just do a scout in like 5 minutes or whatever. All
right.
Do a roll or two and.
So
Of course, she gets in trouble, in which case the rest of us are going to have to come to the rescue.
Right. Well, then it's a full deployment.
So you scurry off then, yeah. Okay.
So you have to pick two then.
Right? I get to pick two. One, of course, is going to be get access to extra equipment. And then the next one, I guess, will be additional intel, which I suppose we can theme as unlocking Freddy's speed enhancement and some type of sensory organ that was freshly installed.
Okay.
Or maybe the extra intel is just that you know the codes and are solid, so you can turn them on and off when you like.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be when she likes.
But I was thinking, just to make it a little bit more restrictive, it has a reset, so when we send off our transmission, we also are able to pull down a little bit of code to get the new...
All right. Just so that Caitlin has some more creative control over her own story, though, what exactly is the nature of your upgrade?
No, I'm totally cool with the choices you made. I
meant the storyline nature.
Yeah, so that is not an issue with me at all. I just need to think of how that would have happened. I guess maybe they did something to his legs, maybe his hind legs. Put like, you know, extra, maybe there's an extra tendon in there now that just controlled a whole lot of tension to just launch him further.
Here's an idea. Maybe he can jettison his armor.
Oh!
Just jettison his armor plates and lose a bunch of weight So maybe the nature of all of these upgrades, the reason why you guys didn't know, is that all of them involve a significant cost to use.
Okay.
So it's like when you want it, you could have it, but you drop something to make it go. And what do you think of that idea?
I love that idea. Let's try that.
We'll figure out what it is for everyone else momentarily. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to find out... So you scurry off. I'm going to find out what everyone else does. And then we're going to get back to you. Okay?
Yeah.
So, Rocket, you got in Strike's face. Mm-hmm. But we didn't really resolve exactly what was going on there. So, Strike, you opted to go with, capitulate to Rocket's intimidation? That was the plan there?
Rocket is a trained chief warrant officer, so she did point out a very good idea that I missed in my rush to react to the situation.
I feel like that... Okay, is that you trying to make excuses for the fact that you did it out of fear?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure that we were respecting the integrity of the get in your face over the seduce and manipulate, because I feel like that's an important thing for purposes of the test. Frankly, I feel like the mechanical tolerance of both those moves, especially in listening to the other group, might need to be looked at again.
Okay.
So I want that attention to have been called to that.
Yeah.
All right. So while you guys wait for Starfish to gather some intel and make a more informed decision, what's going to be the course? Because the convoy ain't slowing down. That's one thing that is not on the table.
So while...
Rand would probably shoot you.
Hmm?
Rand. Lieutenant Rand. She's in charge of the Marines. Remember? She's, like, huge and terrifying.
No.
Yeah. The Marines, incidentally, are all, like, sitting on the side of the Jeeps at this point because they, you know, are moving at a good clip. Probably 15 miles an hour. I mean, it is a quadruped walking gait, so they don't want to shake everybody around too much, but they're definitely hoofing it.
Or legs. Sorry.
And I believe that the Jeeps are actually pretty much fully mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a DC sponge power source, but they are just CPU driven, like full mechanical legs, full mechanical chassis. And again, in case anyone forgot, none of them are expendable. If you lose one, you don't have a rocket anymore.
What? What about this one?
You know what I mean.
Seems like an awful...
No, rocket dies.
Yeah. I like it, though. It makes sense, given what we...
Yeah, they had to give up something to have a planetary lander that can reach escape velocity and also break down into a bunch of shit that runs.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you... let's start with Rocket, then. So, what are you doing?
I think if we're on the move, I'm probably, not quite trolling, but in Mac and... So did we stop to have the conversation, or...
I assumed you guys had the conversation on radio while walking.
Right.
Okay.
That was my assumption.
And when I say walking, I mean jogging. I mean, 15 miles an hour is nothing to sneeze at.
What a mess.
So I think I'm probably running about and, you know, paying more attention to the jeeps than the our train.
Oh, I think one of them lost a leg too, right?
Yeah.
Well, kind of. It had a jury-rigged leg because I stole the parts to fix mine.
Yeah, so
right.
So I'm probably keeping an eye on that one especially, but I'm also, you know, going and making sure that, you know, there might be a smaller, less insidious cousin of the Red Fern or, you know, any number of things. And so...
So you're taking point?
No.
Okay.
No, I am not.
I think she's just sheepdogging.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
I'm checking on all of our vehicles, and you know, if something comes up, I'm gonna notice it.
It should not go without mentioning that you guys are moving forward at a steady clip in enemy territory. So somebody in a mech should probably be on point.
I'll take them.
Okay.
I'm in the back of the formation with a
thing up rear guard.
Keep an eye on everything.
Okay.
Mumbled under breath, fucking coward.
I'm the one with the thumpers close to me.
By about 30 feet.
That's narrower than the incineration range of their blast. If they hit any one of you, none of you will ever know it.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a direct hit. If they land, like, you know, 40 feet behind you, then you'll wish you didn't know it. Sort of a mini nuke.
Cool. Exciting.
The fat boy.
M40, I think those are called.
Oh, I was talking about, I assume she was talking about
bomb. Yeah, they have a little... Yeah.
They have a little nuclear catapult with a bomb about yay big. And most of the time it's as dangerous to you as it is to the enemy. It's very entertaining.
They made a real bomb that actually worked like that at Banuka.
Yeah, and you had to be driving while you watched.
I thought it was called... I think it was called an M40.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
And the blast radius was larger than the range.
This is from, like, the 50s.
Wait, was it really? I forgot about that.
Is larger than the range, you have to be driving
away.
That's hilarious.
Sorry, French weapon.
I researched this a long time ago. So anyway, do you guys want to just sit tight while we wait to hear back from Starfish? Is that what I'm getting here? Okay. So Starfish, it's you. So the Red Coral area, the Coral Canyons, so to speak, are about level. The top of the fins are about level with the surrounding terrain. I mean, obviously, you know, it's wavy terrain. It's a highly vertical planet, so there's a lot of cliffs and stuff. Freddy can just scurry right up them without too much difficulty. But we're talking about like 20 and 30 foot cliffs, not, you know, not 100 foot drops like the Coral Canyons had. Are you taking any particular tack? Are you running straight at the thumpers, or...?
I am running across the tops until they are within the range I'm used to keeping from them, which is going to be some probably like... How long would you say the range of their detection is?
Well, they need to be able to see far enough to shoot at things. So, like, generally speaking, when you guys fight these things... You get into melee with a thumper, and they're more or less just furniture. They can walk at a fairly good speed. I mean, they're, like I said, not quite 15 miles an hour when they're walking. But you could run up their leg and, like, bite.
Like, lost that shit.
Yeah, exactly. They are too big to interact with mechs on your guys' scale any closer than their minimum range. And their minimum range is probably, like, 20 miles. Like, it's tough for them to... That's what the zingers are for. That's why they need substantial guarding. So they can probably detect you at full range. They can probably detect you at 120, 110 miles, somewhere in that ballpark. But you're moving around awful fast and are tough to target. The convoy is one thing, because it's moving in roughly a straight line. And it's not like they need to be real accurate. There's several of them.
So I think I'm doing a thing where I'm running around running along the top of it, like, diagonally, jumping across, coming down, latching onto the bottom of the wall, right below
thing, moving forward, jumping up on top, running across the top, jumping again onto the next opposite side of the canyon, going back and forth, serpentine.
You also have another advantage going for you. You are basically an indigenous life form. They're probably not firing at every rat dog herd they see.
And I do have a kind of a natural cloaking kind of thing that I could employ if needed. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of serpentining between canyons as I jump. And I think when I get really close, I'm just going to latch down right below the rim, like so, hanging under the lip, looking out over to take a better look at them, and then try to get a better gauge from where I'm stopped.
Well, certainly many, many miles away from the thumpers. You probably are, I'm going to say, 20 miles away from the convoy at this point, so you've been running for a couple of minutes. I'm assuming when you're moving at speed, you can fly pretty fast.
Yeah.
Zinger, you start to be able to make out zingers on the horizon. They're just little dots, but you can their telltale jumping pattern is easy to note. It's like a swarm of cartoon fleas. Like they're just a bunch of black dots moving towards you, and they seem to be juggling themselves as they go, because a bunch drop into the crowd and a bunch jump out again. So their detective range, on the other hand, is more or less the same as yours.
Okay.
You know, you see that. If you see them as a cloud of dots, they see you as a dot.
Okay, cool. How many does it look like there are?
Well, like I said, it's a swarm. The,
How big a swarm?
Dozens.
Dozens?
Okay. But not hundreds.
Okay. So I'm going to put less than 200, larger than 24.
Yeah.
One, two, few, couple.
Is there a move for this?
I think there might be.
Assess the situation or something like
that? Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I always fail to make you guys roll.
How dumb is a box of rocks? Oh, I'm not. 7. Only slightly dumb.
Okay.
Okay, so I need to know, what is the enemy's strategy, I guess is what I should ask.
Ah, excellent question. Based on their, angle of movement and the way they're running, you're actually pretty certain that they are not coming, that they don't know you're there. Like, you don't think they're heading for the convoy either. The standard formation for thumper defense is a whole bunch of them down around the feet and a spear tip unit up in front just to run up and harry things. That unit has not left the minimum range, of the thumpers yet.
Right.
So that's a good sign for you, because if they were trying to run you down, they would have gone into turbo mode and ranged far ahead. So they may not even know you're there yet, and it might be as the rocket was it mm-hmm. which of you rocket. It might be as rocket suspected that they're going for the smoke plume. Your convoy is very small.
Well, that sounds like the answer I need to. Yep. That's what I needed to find out. I'm going to Paul ask.
Was that something you were tagged for, by the way?
Brains. No, I was okay. Brain. Brain for tagged fire appeal.
All right, fair enough. So, what do I want to do here? Part of me wants to just, like, say, you see, I'm still in this D&D mentality where I'd be like, make a perception check. So part of me wants to be like, roll something, but maybe, you know what, they say if you want to have them, if you want to do it to the...
Could I mean, I could take an issue.
You know what, don't worry about it. On your way back, you notice, because, you know, there's plant life around here, or what passes for plant life on this planet. Obviously, you're being careful about things like red grass, but you do run past a number of very large bushes, like 30-foot tall bushes, but they're green. They have things that could probably easily be described as leaves. But do you know, how much do you know about mice, flora, and fauna?
A lot. I'm pretty obsessed with them.
Okay. So you realize as you run past this bush that it's a C&I bush.
C&I bush, okay.
They have eyeballs.
Yeah.
They're not intelligent, but...
They're cameras.
Largely. This could easily be part of a surveillance system. And the bad news is you ran right past it the first time. You only notice it on the return trip.
Okay.
So there's a chance that you've been detected by some kind of local system.
Well, if I'm running past it, I'm going to do something gutsy.
Okay.
Or I don't know if that's the right thing. I'm going to try to do something clever. I'm going to just sniff at the hell at that tree and try to lick it and mark that. I'm going to piss on that tree as if I am just a Freddy marking its territory that is okay. Dumb.
seems good.
And that's why we avoided the forest.
And I want to say do something gutsy because I need to make it look good.
Seems good to me.
What? Seems gutsy. I will accept gutsy.
Because I'm sticking my face right up in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 7.
Is gutsy steel?
Fire.
Oh, it is style?
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gutsy style.
No, gutsy seems fire to me.
I thought it was fire. That's why I rolled it.
Oh. Gutsy is more martial.
Fire is going guns blazing.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Well, I'm an idiot.
Sorry. This seems like a system mastery moment where I don't want to punish you too badly for it.
Well, I already triggered the cameras.
Somehow, could someone assist?
We're super far away from her.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a... Okay. I was just in front.
It's also possible that she could have...
You guys should probably use the right pronoun.
Yeah. Oh, right.
You could easily have sent us pictures or told us. Like, hey, I'm gonna do something stupid.
If I can vote on this, I'm in favor of me just have hooked to hell that it worked, but I had already been caught by the camera anyway. I don't think it's too devastating if I spend more time since they already would have detected me. Right. And now they just know that I'm dumb.
Well, it's not like it has klaxons or anything like that, so there's no... Who knows? Maybe nobody's watching it at the time. Maybe it's just a naturally occurring seeing eye plant and it's not connected to any network. Who can say?
Me.
But you're not there.
True. I just wanted to correct you.
But at least it's now my territory.
Yep. That's good news. Future rat dogs will give that bush a wide clearance. Okay. Let's see here now. So I'm gonna say you return to the group without incident. You guys can still hear the telltale sound of zingers on the horizon, but it's not necessarily an immediate issue. So you're back to the same question. Which way do you go? The jungle, the forest is not really necessarily a forest. It's just a thing full of tall vertical shafts with bushy life form at the top.
It's still life forms, though.
It's hot with life.
We go on this planet is full of life.
Except for the desert.
Not the empty desert.
Worries me more because what's more noticeable? Empty barren waste that now has life in it? Or life with more life in it?
I'm not worried about being noticed.
Wise, would it be... How much supply... Do we have water?
Yes.
Is it a hot desert or is it just a flat area?
You don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to get stranded.
Good
supplies if we can't be sure.
I don't want to get eaten by some stupid mice plant that we never have heard of before.
You got, for the record, remember you guys are amply supplied. Your bio-heart, especially in your mechs, you guys can, and especially in Freddy.
Hmm.
Like, Badger might have a little bit of difficulty with this, but Strike and Freddy, you guys could both subsist in those mechs for weeks without having to get out. They will feed you, you know, they will nourish you. They can get everything that your body needs from the electroplasm atmosphere. This is what being amply supplied means. So, for the context of this mission. You might be in a little bit more trouble, but...
I assume I just don't have a biological system for that. I assume there's mechanicals for that.
Well, but the mechanical system... It's hard for a mechanical system to synthesize bread from the air. That said, something has to be feeding everybody else in your party, and that's going to be on board one of the jeeps. So it's not like you guys... Yeah, you guys could go in the desert. If it's a hot desert, and it's not, like, so hot that your brains fry... Which is a possibility. You really don't know. You guys will be fine. You don't need to worry about supplies. What's more concerning is Strike's actual concern, which is that on this planet, anything that makes an area largely free of life signs must be fairly severe, like spontaneous acid geysers exploding out of the ground all the time, or something like that.
Which is exactly what I said.
In the third person and everything.
Yes.
Scariest environment imaginable. That's all you needed to say was scariest environment imaginable.
Badger, I understand your concern. My primary concern is that you are showing cowardice right now because this
Sorry. What?
Exactly. That's the courage I'm looking for, Badger.
Go fuck yourself. I ain't being cowardly.
Then why do you want to avoid all the life forms here, Badger?
Because I don't see the need to...
Harvest and collect samples for us to understand and better replicate mice technology.
We're not looking for samples of dangerous life forms. We're trying to find a very specific thing.
Were you?
And there's no need to submit ourselves, especially those in our group not in a mech, to a potentially very hazardous environment.
Lieutenant Arnold, who happens to be on the comms at the same time, is like, actually, we don't know if what we're looking for is dangerous. It could be incredibly terrifying.
Yeah, we still haven't actually identified what it is that promulgates all this junk.
No risk, no reward, Badger. This is what this entire mission is built upon. We are in desperation.
Unnecessary.
Stop being such a fucking prima donna.
Thank you, sir.
Oh my gosh!
This is between this is between me and Badger right now. Thank you for
Fuck you all so much!
Oh, come on. Just, and we're being all weird since the thing with Freddy, but just stop it. You gotta calm down.
What happened with Freddy?
Nothing happened with Freddy.
What happened with Freddy?
Nothing happened with Freddy.
See, that doesn't actually work on me, because I was there. Though, I should have been in the... Shouldn't have been in the dry rig.
What needs to happen right now is you two to explain to me what happened.
Nothing happened, sir.
Now I get a sir, Badger?
Yes, now you get a sir. Because nothing happened.
I'm trying to obviously read what is going on with...
Okay.
Here's my heart scroll!
I'm gonna interfere.
Excellent.
Hang on a second. Before you roll that, so we are definitely going on downtime again, which means post-combat or post-deployment moves, if anybody's got them, and beginning of downtime moves and highlighting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I should
No, that's perfectly fine. But, man, my post-deployment one is very hard to use. When did you jettison Freddy's armor?
I didn't have to.
Okay.
I didn't think I had to.
Nope, you didn't have to. It was, as far as scout missions go, that was a walk in the park. Like, that's great spying on people who don't know you're there. And like I said, Freddy has a super huge advantage. If anything, if something gets real close and can see his neck bolts, he's as good as a rat dog.
So who's hiding first?
Let's have, you know, we keep going clockwise, so let's go counterclockwise. So Starfish,
okay,
pick a patsy.
Let's see, I resolved the rivalry, so three strikes. Strike five, I'm gonna call you strikes, because I don't have any souls.
That's fine. You're just really bad writing fives.
I haven't even consistently written it as strike five in the notes file. I write it as strike and strike five interchangeably.
So what do you highlight?
No.
You highlight.
I got that back. I would like to see you keep your cool more often, because your character seems to be having trouble with that right now.
Yeah. I'm not used as to being without Feral.
It's as though something happened to you earlier that you really wanted to have happen, but it didn't.
All right. Strike five. So, pick someone. I gotta hit you with another one.
Yeah.
I'm going to reward you with brains.
Yay!
I'm gonna highlight people's good stats this session because I was subversive last session.
So I can only highlight people that I have a rivalry or that I have a bond with?
Yes.
You pick someone you have a bond with and they highlight you.
Well then, I can only choose...
Because you guys resolved your bond, right?
Well, no, the two of them resolved their rivalry.
So you could do have either of us highlight.
Though point of fact, it seems like you guys might have a new rivalry now.
I don't know yet. Okay. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
How do new relationships get created?
As appropriate?
Yeah, just whenever...
Do they happen at the end of, sequences, or...?
I think, do you guys want to do a system like that? Because that seems like it would be way convenient.
Yeah, I don't think we actually defined it.
Is it defined in Apocalypse World?
End of session, I think, right?
Okay.
Although, honestly, I think end of sequences would certainly work well.
Okay.
I do agree, because it seems like you could lose a lot of action that way, or at least a lot of progress.
Right.
Like, definitely what's going on between Badger and I.
Yeah, I know. I'm super happy this is, like, heating up.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just ended a deployment, so are there any new relationships?
We finished highlighting.
Oh, okay. I was thinking we'd do it before the highlighting, so people would have more people to highlight.
Fair enough, that does work too.
Because with one, with only four relationships, and one of them just resolved, it becomes a little bit thin. Or did anybody already form a new relationship? I think that there's just, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would translate very well to the podcast group.
Anyway.
Eventually, I'm doing something with you two.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what yet.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
I already have a rivalry with you. So
yeah, I've got one with both of them. I don't know that
we don't have any.
We have anything really burgeoning.
Okay. No. All right, so I'm going to start off with, I'm just going to do it myself. So I'm going to say Badger and Starfish. During that deployment, you guys got into some weird stuff together. You certainly resolved your old rivalry, which, what was that based on?
I think me being a fucking weirdo and Badger being the cool one, who is, like, sick of me being a fucking weirdo.
But now, it's personal.
So we have a new rivalry.
But the question is, well, I mean, if you guys want it to be a friendship and try and spin it that way, you're totally welcome to do it.
Well, didn't sound like it.
It can turn into a friendship later.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Right now, she's mad that I sexed Fred.
Got to get the first person experience. That's what we're going to call it. The FPX. Oh man, I want to make that a meme now.
We can have a song about it if we ever play that one RPG you keep telling me about. The Danger Patrol? That's it.
That doesn't seem like Danger Patrol shtick, but whatever.
Yeah. That's probably too sexy for Danger Patrol.
So, did anybody else get all interactive in there with someone else from the group? I don't feel like they so much did. And your guys' fight is actually a downtime fight.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. We'll deal with that at the end of this downtime.
Okay. We already are rivals, so that may end up leading towards resolution, since. I talked sense and he listened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to resolve it then?
I don't think it's quite resolved yet.
All right.
Because I gave him more of a fear thing because Rocket was looking to attack me, whereas I think it would be resolved through us coming to a mutual point. All
right. So, James, you know, you can... I mean, it would be a little bit weird, but you can choose to tag Starfish back.
Yeah.
And that's fine, and then we just hop to someone else. It doesn't have to be in an order. It's just fun when that works.
This is why I was professing jealousy for the other group, because with five people, they always have an unstable matrix of relationships and highlighting, whereas with four people, it's like, and then 90 degrees to that.
Well, we'll try and be more subversive and helpful to one another.
I'm trying to get on people's bad sides. I'm trying really hard.
I will highlight Rocket.
Rocket will highlight you.
No, I'm the one that's whatever, so I'm going to point at Rocket.
Yes,
what do
Rocket
I
will highlight you.
Sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, let's highlight you. Steel.
Steel.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And I am then going to turn and highlight your brains.
Okay.
So, same spread as Starfish. Rocket!
Well, I think I'm going to monk things up and ask James to highlight me.
Mm. Okay. Asymmetry!
The last one's weird.
Card fire.
You're starting the show promise as a commanding officer. I might recommend you for a promotion. So let's highlight your style there.
Okay.
And I would see your fire.
Oh boy.
Perhaps in her belly?
Badger!
Go with Starfish, because we had a weird moment together.
Alright. I want to see... You seem fiery. You're fiery, right?
I am fiery.
Alright. See that fire.
Yeah.
I want to see your brains, because I don't think that's been tagged on you yet.
Nope.
And all of your stuff. That's like your second best thing, basically.
Yeah, it's tied for style. That's my second best.
Yep. Yeah, so I want to see Badger use her head.
Okay,
so then... There, we're... Alright, so you're back, and... Wow. We're still debating desert versus forest.
Well, hold on. It was heating up, and I want to use always throw the first punch. I spend a respect, automatically interfere. It's hard to punch him in a mech. I don't really want to shoot him, so I'm going to headbutt him.
Well, actually, what's happening was I was trying to figure out what's happening between you two. So I was trying to make a heart roll.
And I'm interfering with that.
Yes.
By accidentally bumping into your mech.
Okay. So
that's going to be tough with him in the tail and you in the on point.
Yeah.
Oh man, maybe you just stop and let the first Jeep run into you. So it's like, bump, 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 bump.
Yes, that is it. I just stopped.
Oh my.
Okay, so I guess I make my roll and then react to.
Yep.
Yeah, you make a roll and then because I interfere, it's going to be one level up.
Hilarious.
Oh, I didn't actually need to interfere.
So what's a.
Do I need to actually spin respect then? If I.
Do you do it before or after the result?
It doesn't actually specify. I would feel like it probably should be.
Well, you wrote it.
It's probably before, because it's throw the first punch.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
So, what's the level below failed?
Super failed. So let's see here now. So I just make a hard move at you, right? Well, I'm actually going to make a hard move at the whole group, more or less related. Or, yeah, how does that work? Does the hard move kind of have to be local to the person who failed?
No, hard move can be fucking anything.
Okay, well, then I'm going to say that, It's bad to play bumper cars with four-legged jeeps when one of them is three-legged. So your cobble to try and make that one four-legged jeep be able to continue going just got blown right out, and now it is properly three-legged. Now, like I said, these things are somewhat fault-tolerant in the legs department. It can walk three-legged. So can a dog. But it sure can't take anything volatile, so no wounded, no chemistry. Basically, you just have to store
foodstuffs.
Yeah, food and clothes and other very calm things on it as it hops along. And it is going to lag behind a little bit, so you guys are going to have to slow down. You're probably going to be about on pace with the Thumper. It's tough to gauge because, like, if you're going up a wall, the three legs are much worse. If you're going down, the three legs don't really slow you down that much. But it does mean that, you know, I mean, heck, anytime you guys have to go vertical is dangerous because you're not increasing your distance.
Badger.
You guys get to see, my progress tracks for a thing, right?
No.
Okay. Threat gauges.
Yeah, threat gauge, that's what it's called. Okay.
Oh, sorry. There was some dangerous terrain here that I just had to slow down to go over. My bad. Anyways, I'm gonna keep scanning for threats.
Well, now you've slowed us down quite a bit.
Sergeant Badger? The only thing stopping me from putting you in for a court-martial now is the fact I can't.
Don't tell her that.
One officer, do you have any means to rig a towing system for this mech so it'll be operational in the slightest now?
It can walk.
We could redistribute mass a bit. I might be able to... I already fixed it up once. Stasi, can you come back here?
She hops up and is like,
reporting!
Let's see what we can do about getting this this Jeep back on even keel.
Well, you cut off his leg, so...
You're going to have to talk more loudly.
You cut off his leg, so I don't know. I mean, we don't really have a lot of spare legs going around. We got something of a leg shortage.
Yeah, well,
Thompson's like, I heard that.
Why don't we just stick them together?
Hmm?
Nothing. That wasn't a real suggestion.
We strap Thompson to the bottom of it and have him walk on his hands. Oh, that was X card?
Yes.
That's what I had X card.
Yeah. Okay. I was re-emphasizing the X card.
I didn't catch that.
I don't know. If we can take a brief stop, maybe we can fix something up. But it's either slow down and hope, or stop and hope we can get back up to full speed, or keep going at a reduced pace. It's going to take at least a few minutes to swap anything volatile off of this one and put the dry goods and supplies on here. You know, I feel like if we are well supplied, there should be some replacement parts. So it might not be a straight up leg, but there's probably some sort of actuators and maybe some bits of armor plating.
Yeah, if we're well supplied, I feel like there should be like an extra leg. Something that we could make it walk with.
Maybe. I mean, I have a role for that, which might or might not include us having something to fill the need. The question is this going to be a jury rig, or are you willing to let us sit down long enough that I can actually try and repair it?
What's your best time estimate, Rocket?
Well, that depends on whether we can find something suitable to replace it, and, how quickly we can patch together.
It's Riaz, who's the supply sergeant?
Reese. Yeah, Reese is the supply sergeant. Actually, I guess this is in Reese's,
So, I mean, for what it's worth, the repair vehicle on a 10 plus I can get two, one of which is do it quickly, and another of which is everything I need is in stock. And then the third is repairs are top quality. 10 is pick 2, 7 and 9 is pick 1.
Did you roll this yet?
No, I have not rolled it yet.
Okay.
We're making a decision on what to do first.
Whether we even try. Alternative is I could try and jury rig it, and it'd probably hold for a while.
Rand is listening in on this, and she patches. She's like, "Hang on a second. I think there's somebody you want to hear from on this." And she patches in Private Gage. He's one of the Marines. He is their official range finding guy. He's got training in their. You know, you guys don't just have binoculars. You have like super high tech binoculars, so he can do all the trig in his head and stuff like that to figure out exactly how far something is away, how close it's moving toward you, etc. It was him who sighted the thumpers in the first place. So anyway, Private Gage is like, so if we stop, we can afford to stop for about 15 minutes. Because any closer than that, right now I can guarantee we are out of range of those thumpers. If we stayed still for 15 minutes, we enter the yellow zone where they might have range on us. If we stayed still for another half hour, we would enter the red zone where they definitely have range on us.
Except they're not necessarily 100% sure. Arxie, they had no idea Freddy was here, and they don't seem to be coming towards us.
Well,
I don't know if that's true or not.
It would be.
Figure that out.
Remember, they have a very wide range of awareness. So if you guys were to cut sideways, they would enter. You'd enter their range if they kept going in a straight line. You basically have no choice but to run away. I mean, you could try to peel off.
We know that I didn't, but I character-wise don't know if I succeeded or not in making it look like a natural.
What's our current terrain looking like?
You guys have left the Coral Canyons, and you've moved into a lush, let's call it a plains area. On this planet, animals and plants sort of blur the line a lot, so you've seen a lot of things running around, like little rabbit-like monsters that are probably about 4 feet tall, but they don't seem to, you know, trouble over you. They more or less run when you get within range. You've seen things that look like just a pair of legs walking around. They don't have any... don't have any obvious sensory organs or anything like that, and they probably just, you know, are collecting electroplasm and then they just walk around. And then you've seen things that look like trees, just perfectly stationary, you know, formations. But nonetheless, they're pink and fleshy and...
They're truffle trees.
Yeah. So, like all the terrain on this planet, it's fairly vertical. You keep having to go up and down, you know, cliffs. But it's not the end of the world. I mean, you can just jump them.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay.
And the jeeps are designed for this kind of mess. When they hit a thing like that, I'm going to say that the platform is like sort of on a floating gondola. The legs are really long, so when it walks up to a wall, the front legs go up and the bottom legs reach forward, and so it walks up the wall while keeping the platform level, with the hind legs reaching far under to support it and the four legs crawling up the wall. That's why the three-legged one is bad at going up walls, because it has to turn around to use the third leg to climb, because if the third leg was underneath and it picked it up, it would tip.
All right, we're at kind of no options right now. We need to jury-rig this.
It's going to take us a few minutes to reload the stuff anyway. So, but yeah, I'm guessing 15 minutes is going to be a jury-rig no matter what.
Okay.
So while they're resorting the supplies, I'll see what Stanzi and I can do.
We'll see what you can do.
Which is an 8. It should hold, at least for a while.
Okay. So what you do is you take the broken leg and basically just hardwire it to be a rigid pillar. This way it can climb with its two good legs, and the third leg just drags against the side of the cliff, but it keeps it upright. So it can climb at full speed. It also is dragging everywhere you go, leaving... I mean, you guys left footprints anyway, but this is, like, a really obvious, like, rut that is just cutting in the ground everywhere you go. And if it comes time to run, it can't run anymore. Before, it could have hobbled, but now it is stuck at one speed.
All right.
What are we doing? Presumably after that quick job, we're moving again?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, they need to switch the gear around anyway so that we wouldn't have anything that would be messed up by the hobbling.
Starfish, you're going to need to range ahead of us and make sure our path is clear.
All right. Mm-hmm. And we'll do. Yep.
Badger, your rear support, you got the most firepower. You also get to clean up your own mess.
I don't know what mess you're talking about.
I would talk about this line that is dragging, Badger. Hop to it.
Oh, are you actually, like, dusting the trail?
I don't...
That is my order.
I have no idea what he meant by that, but then I'm just going to follow.
But he explained it.
No, he didn't. He said, clean up your mess. I don't know what he's talking about.
And then he said, the trail we're dragging. It's pretty obvious.
Okay, well, I didn't get it until he explained it to me, like, okay. For reals.
Okay, well, now you know.
Oh...
5-year-old can track you guys.
Imagining a giant broom.
I don't know how he expects me to do that exactly.
I imagine I'm just your mech. We're moving slow.
Your claws. My mech has claw feet.
Make it look not suspicious.
You don't have hands. So what do you just have, like, weapons for hands, right? You don't have
anything. Yeah, I just have gun arms.
Yeah, okay.
You shoot the ground a whole lot, and they won't know what happened.
That would be noisy.
We have infinite ammo.
Yeah, I'm not wasting my bullets. These are very expensive.
Oh, that's why it's her mess to figure out how to clean.
Maybe you could squat and drag your butt along the ground like a dog.
I imagine that if her mech just basically shortened its steps and just double timed, it could create the appearance of multiple things walking over the line.
Okay, that seems good.
Can I perhaps wrap my head around the problem of trying to figure out the best, most efficient way to keep up speed-wise and do this?
I like it.
Just like moonwalking.
6.
Aww.
Can I assist?
You're like, no, you gotta do it like this.
Yeah. It's like,
but you have to be up front.
Oh, well, that's true. But I can hear the conversation.
Okay.
Or
you hear my cursing.
I could try and assist since I'm actually probably watching the repaired mech to make sure the jury rig holds.
Okay.
And she's not gonna be that far behind.
Right, that's true. This will definitely be the one in the back.
So
we're gonna call it Jeep 13.
Jeep 13.
Right. Lucky 13.
Yep.
And we're friends, so I've got +2 to assist. 9.
So that is a whole whopping 7.
Yay.
Okay. So what's the wrap your head around the problem do?
It's basically,
I mean, do you have, like, a list of questions?
No, it's, on a 79 you'll get some hint or insight, but nothing definitive.
Oh, okay.
It's gaze into the abyss or whatever the apocalypse version is.
There might be a piece, some kind of local thing that you can use as a tool. Like, not something that you guys have on the convoy, but something growing.
Jeep 13 was the one Thompson was assigned to drive.
You're terrible people.
Hey, Starfish.
Yep.
So, and this is on the closed channel, just meaning me. You know the flora here, whatever it is.
It doesn't matter what you say, both is accurate.
What would be something useful that I could do to get rid of this rut that fucking Strike asked me to... told me.
Well, you might be able to make it look like a slithery trail, or you could make it look like a, you could get like a smooth thing, like a blanket or something, and make it look like a wider trail than it really is, or smaller.
How am I gonna hold this? I don't have hands or anything on this neck.
Well, you could, you know what you could do? You could, there's a, animal that does this thing where it's got, like, like, 5 toes, and it's got 2 in the front and 3 in the back, and it leaves a pretty big trail, but it's also got a long tail, and so it can leave a trail. So if you were to walk like this and then hold one of your toes back and just go hop down the trail, it would look like that. I don't know why I sound like a little girl all of a sudden. I'm sorry. It would work like that.
Well, I guess I will try that.
You gotta hop.
Actually, I can probably just hop with my jets.
Yeah.
And those do have unlimited fuel, so.
Right.
Yeah. I love unlimited fuel. That's one of the things about this campaign that just feels really cool to me.
Mm.
It reminds me of XCOM, because in XCOM you had all kinds of things that used bullets. But if you equipped everyone with lasers, lasers had unlimited ammo.
Mm-hmm.
So they were terrific for burrowing through walls. Because you had to shoot a wall a lot of times to make it go away sometimes. Just standing there with a fully automatic, being like, go away, wall. So.
By the way, I'm not entirely sure whether or not that's true, what I just told you. But it will at least obscure the trail and not make it look like we're a line of.
Well, it's something that I can do that doesn't require me carrying something with non-existent hands. So I'll go with it.
Yeah.
Even though I look like an asshole. Just jump it around.
It definitely makes it look like it's something else that they haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke. So, which way did you guys end up deciding to go? Are you definitely going for the forest? Is that what was determined?
That's the way I'm taking the convoy for sure.
Okay. So,
what's up ahead?
Hop around.
How far, do you guys remember how far away I said the forest was?
Not even.
Okay. Wasn't it 100 miles or a couple hundred miles?
It was a fair piece, but.
Okay, so it would probably take, let's say that it'll take you guys about 10 hours to get there. Okay. And the good news is it takes you slightly out of the projected straight line path of the Thumper Squadron. Like I was saying, as I was explaining before when we were all talking over each other, the thing about these guys is because the Thumpers are a, 120-mile radius of instant death, you can't just stop, even if, and you happen to be the direction they're going, you can't just stop, turn sideways, and try and get out of their path as fast as possible, because they'll overtake, the sphere will overtake. But while running away from them, there's a certain angle where you can just keep peeling away to one side or the other, where assuming they don't know you're there and they're continuing to move in a straight line, eventually you'll get off of their course. And both the desert and the forest are out of that path. If, assuming, because remember, that neither the desert or forest are in a straight line to the smoke plume. And again, when I say smoke plume, it's not like it's rising from the ground. This is we're calling it the smoke plume, but it's, well, at this point, it's probably long since dissipated. You guys just have triangulated where it is, and you now know this data. It's not, the winds have long since pushed it along. I'm also going to say that Private Gage is also the guy whose job it is to know when nightfall is coming here. And he suddenly realizes nightfall is coming. So suddenly, not all of the Marines are hooked into the same comms as you. So Lieutenant Rand comes on and he's like, okay, guys, obviously we're not stopping, but just everyone to know, it's about to be dark. And it's going to get dark real fast. And then
it's dark.
Yeah. For some.
Assuming we have lights or some sort of night sensors or.
Triumph has been moving through the sky, all night, and it moved down below the horizon a while ago. But what you guys didn't reckon upon is the sun suddenly going out, as a much larger moon passes in front of it, and it will be a somewhat extended eclipse. So it actually is really dark. Stars are beautiful. Through the sort of pink haze of the sky. Imagine if space were red instead of black. That's what it looks like from this planet.
Hmm. Well, but, I mean, our mechs and vehicles surely
have night
vision
or
something. Yeah. So we're not going blind.
Well, you have night vision. You have night vision. What do you have?
I don't know.
Probably some sort of.
This is a this is a creative opportunity. If you wanna, if you wanna just punt, you can say, "Oh, I just have night vision too." But I was giving you the opportunity to say that for some reason your mech likes to detect the world differently. Infrared would be a choice.
Yeah, possibly, or
the ability
In sci-fi shows, you always see someone. They always are able to detect life signs, which is really dumb if you think about it, but. I think that's what my mech can do.
Flow of electroplasm or something?
Yeah, maybe it can see where the...
Forest. Metabolic exchange.
Something like that.
Okay.
I don't know the exact scientific explanation, but...
You're good at life form sensing.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got?
So my cockpit, since I actually have a cockpit.
Right.
It has a HUD overlay.
Uh-huh.
And on the outside of the mech, it has... we'll call them infrared. I don't know if it has to be that. I'm trying to think of something else that would be comparable. But basically just night vision emitters that then they're like cameras, basically. And then I'm given a projected modified reality over my cockpit.
Okay.
What?
You just remind me of something I read about Space Marines. It's a really interesting fluff explanation of how they think and why.
It is monochromatic, though.
The Marines are... They have night vision, too. They just have night vision goggles. But it's not super great for this planet, because there's a lot of... now that night has fallen, there's a lot of bioluminescent stuff around as well. This is not a problem for Freddy, because Freddy can just selectively look at dark and bright things. And this is probably not a problem for... your thing against Shade? This is not a problem for Shade, either, because it's got its natural eyes.
Yep.
Anything that's got mice eyes, is gonna know, or mouse eyes, I guess.
Mice.
In the other group, Joanna called them called Ix a mouse.
I like that.
Fucking mouse. Because they picked up the mice thing from us, so. But you know what? That's enough of an ethnic slur for me. I wanted there to be something there that was, you know, clearly derisive.
Something that is derived and in-universe, I'm less offended by.
Right. No.
That's totally, you know, on account of us not insulting an actual group of people.
Yeah, it's good to not be using a real racial slur.
Yeah.
So, but the point is your Marines are not going to be necessarily as effective if you guys run into a Marine problem.
What would be a Marine problem?
Something where you guys need a lot of automatic weapons fire from infantry. For example, if Zingers were to catch you, the Marines would be indispensable because their guns are not inconsiderable. I mean, even though the things that they would be fighting are 15 feet tall, you know, elephants are 15 feet tall too. You can kill elephants with guns. It's not point and click. It's not a trivial effort. But people do it in Africa all the time.
I'd also have to assume that some of these parts of the shuttle have higher caliber weapons, like a 50 cal equivalent or whatnot.
Because of energy weapons, things don't necessarily work like that anymore. You don't necessarily need a heavy... I mean, you know, you guys have some heavy ordnance, but the assault... I think we agreed that they were like ion cannon assault rifles that they had before. They just fire ionized particles at people. Can do a lot of damage, much more damage than a 50 caliber round could if it hits your body.
I was just using it as an equivalent, like M16 is to 50 cal as plasma assault rifle is to...
Well, I don't know. Do we have a heavy... I mean, we've got a heavy gun mech. Do we have a heavy gun jeep?
I would assume so.
There's probably one or two with turrets at the very least.
Or, like, non-man portable.
Okay. That was more of a creative direction. Is this a strength we have or a weakness we don't have?
I like the weakness because I want us to stay vulnerable, but...
Yeah.
Well, different.
Don't worry, you guys are plenty vulnerable. I got all kinds of danger tracks ticking up for you guys now. This is the session where, when we're talking about the playtest later, this is the session where I learned the magic of damage tracks. Because I've just been over here being like, oh, there's another damage track. There's another damage track. So much danger.
We need a danger patrol to police all of this danger. Mm-hmm.
So you guys trudge through the night. Does anybody want to do anything on downtime? Anybody? You guys already did some hooking up and whatnot. Anybody got any social interactions they want to get on?
I feel like we've got that mostly pretty covered.
Can I ask? Can I assess the situation? Are we not in combat enough to do that? I don't know.
Oh, is that a combat move?
Well, there's a combat and a non-combat version.
There is a non-combat version.
Well, it's like
the assess the situation is the combat one, and then read the room is the non-combat one.
Hmm. Never mind then. I'm gonna try and keep point and run up ahead and then run back and run up ahead and run back.
Okay.
In fact, I'm gonna actually go and scout.
Do you have a move for scouting or anything like that?
No, okay. Scout move.
Well then, roll. I'm thinking maybe.
That's the situation.
That's combat.
Do something gutsy as style, right?
Yep.
And what can you do with that?
Do something gutsy would be something like a. On it, it just says, it would be something flashy.
Oh, okay. Okay, that messed me up. I was going to try to have you roll something to see how good you do at, you know, guiding everyone. Be like, oh, hey, guys, here's a place where the cliff has collapsed, so there's a ramp that we can go up and make speed. Here's some more eye bushes we're probably going to want to avoid, while also keeping them as close to a straight line as possible for maximum speed.
That sounds like wrapping your head around a problem to me.
Okay, then do it.
I got brains 9.
9. Okay. So, you do a proficient job at it.
Okay.
You don't blow it out of the water, but the group is able to maintain pace with the thumpers, despite, you know, having to cover terrain that is a little bit rough. Badger.
Yes.
At some point, you're gonna have to sit. I mean, you're taking up the rear.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do when you need to get out and eat? 10 hours is too long to just hang out in the mech. You can have someone supply you, I guess. Like open up the cockpit and someone just hands you something.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
There's probably the equivalent of a autopilot where it just kind of walks forward at a slow pace, so that I don't have to really pay direct attention to all the controls.
Okay.
That'd make it hard to keep up with the cleaning the mess, though.
Okay, so there's a gap in it.
Lieutenant Rand actually comes to bring you your rations, which is way below her pay grade. and she wants to have a little word with you while you're at it. So she kind of, like, jumps up. You know, she's on foot, so she jumps up and, like, climbs up the side the way you would climb to get into your cockpit. Mm-hmm. And you sort of, like, she's like, hey, I got your...
There's a hatch in the back.
Right.
There's sort of, like, a little
okay.
bit of hallway.
Okay. I got your mess for you.
Oh, thanks. Why did you bring it exactly?
So you're not opening the door for her to give you your food?
Oh, yeah, I assumed I already did.
Okay,
I'm not going to get out of the chair, though. I'm basically just going to kind of flip on the autopilot.
You're not going to choose to get out of the chair. She puts you in a... you're like, oh, open the door, and then she runs up and she, like, you know, puts some food on the thing. And then she puts you in a sleeper hold, lifts you out of the chair, and bends you over backwards so she can look into your eyes upside down. And she's like, I know...
Let me go.
You can't talk.
Okay.
I mean, do you want me to roll something for this? I don't roll something.
I should roll something.
Okay, so roll keep your cool.
Can I attack her instead? Not necessarily lethally, but like...
Are you in a sleeper hold?
Well, but I can resist. I can resist being grappled.
You're nothing to sneeze at in a fist fight, but you wouldn't pick a fight with Lieutenant Rand if you had a handle of whiskey in you. Remember, she's 7 feet tall. She is an absolute monster, and you would have a hard time, like...
I have a handgun.
Ooh, okay, that's a severe escalation.
She just put me in a sleeper hold.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to pull my handgun out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I assume that would be getting someone's face. Gun blazing, I would assume.
I didn't mean for it to be a combat move. I meant for it to more be a retro... can an NPC try to get into a player's face? Is that a thing that the command is just not supposed to do?
No, they can totally do that.
Okay, yeah, well that's...
It's not a role. It's
like... They just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want me to, like, keep my cool then?
Well, you haven't heard what she has to say yet.
She put me in a fucking sleeper hold as I'm piloting a mech.
Might I interject something? I think it is to keep your cool because you are grabbing your pistol and trying not to instantly cap her because you are a combat veteran. Someone has just attacked you. You're completely surprised.
I'll give it.
Okay. So yeah. So let me... So we'll call her keep your cool instead.
That is... Would you say this is a combat situation? Or a social situation? Even though it's sort of a semi-combat move?
Depends.
Because I can spend respect in social is the only reason I want to know.
Ah.
I would say it is social because you're not... You're
it's sort of social by definition because this is a downtime interaction.
I'm going to spend respect and bump that up to a 10.
Okay. So you put your gun against her temple. Okay.
Let me go.
Shoot me. That's what I thought. I don't have a problem with you personally, Badger. In fact, I really like you. But I'm already down half a man. And if you pull any shit like you did earlier where we bumped the jeeps into each other, we're probably all gonna die. I've never lost a soldier. And I'm not going to on this detail either. And she lets you go. Incidentally, that's a very impressive statistic.
Mm-hmm. Right before she leaves, assuming she just goes straight for the door, I'm gonna be like... Well played, Lieutenant.
She, mentioned it. She's like, it's hot dogs with no mustard. Because she knows that's what you like.
I was trying to figure out if that was slang for something.
Now it is.
Well, that's probably a non-trivial thing to swing out of their food processor. Mm-hmm. It's like, extrude me something that tastes like a hot dog. It's like, okay, well, technically the bun and the dog are actually, like, you know, contiguous... The same thing, but one of them is dog flavored and the other one is bun flavored. That's right. I said it. Anyway. But no mustard. I'm gonna say you don't like mustard.
Okay.
I'm just dictating this to you as command.
Sure. I don't care. Ew, mustard.
Character notes.
Badger
hates mustard.
I will say for comedic effects, Starfish, you probably know this.
Oh yeah. It's because we have a connection now.
So, now you have a thing about it. So now you have a relationship with Lieutenant Rand at all.
Yep.
We're going to say badass respect. Or respect among mutual badasses. Yeah, sorry to no-sell your keep it cool there, but I had a thing that I needed my character to say.
That was wonderful, and I think it was perfect, and...
It's like, Who knows how big, who knows what caliber your pistol is? One shot to the head might not have stopped her.
Well, also, the Keep Your Cool, kind of like James was saying, was also me actually getting it out, getting it pointed at her, and not accidentally shooting her just out of habit.
I always shoot people out of habit.
Well, when I'm attacked on an alien planet...
A surprise attack, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Rocket, you've got cover of night. Is there anything that you would like to do that you might not necessarily want the rest of the group knowing about?
Not really while we're moving.
Okay. What will you be waiting for us to stop for, then?
I don't know. I don't know that there really is anything.
I'm trying to give you some more opportunity to come up with neat character hooks, because I feel like I've left you behind a little bit in this regard. I know that you've got weirdness with Arnold, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like a lot of my stuff is more combat-related. Mm. And we've been doing a lot of social...
Okay.
Which I've got a few social hooks in, but, like, I need to get in trouble in the field so that I can, like, make it up with people later.
All right.
Or whatever. Or have a need to, if that makes any sense at all.
You guys come upon the forest, or at least where the forest is supposed to be. Or that is to say, I suppose you get there first, Starfish. Only it's not. There's nothing here. It's just a big flat expanse filled with bushes.
Okay.
In fact, there's C&I bushes. Mm. Big ones. And a lot of them. But this is not what you guys saw from the drop. Like, there's supposed to be a huge number of large vertical columns here, like 50-foot diameter trees. But you can see the bushes, obviously, like, you have to, you know, climb up on something to see over the bushes, but it's just a span of bushes for, like, 50 miles.
Weird. That was out of character. I wouldn't say it that way. I'm gonna, try to... Okay, so I'm gonna assess this situation.
Okay.
Assess the situation hard.
Come and get it.
Ooh. And I do.
Alrighty.
With an 11.
So it's not weird at all, because you have just figured out what this forest was. For lack of better words, we call it a worm city. One of the several mice species that is intelligent and is actually... I'm gonna say the one that is native to this planet. Are a race of blue worms. They're about 4 feet long, which makes them roughly 3 inches in diameter, I guess. They're probably a little bit thicker than that. They're sort of stocky. And with these guys, everything is worms, including their building, which are just gigantic pink worms that recede into the ground at night. During the day, they pop up so that they have sort of a photosynthesis type thing, but when it's nighttime, they just recede into their holes. They can relocate if they need to. And yeah, it turns out that's what this was. From space, it wasn't incredibly obvious, but now that you're upon it, it's like, huh. So the CNI bushes are actually just the surveillance system of each individual building. They're personal security system.
Cool. I'm going to sniff around the edges. And you know what? I'm going to use alien mind. I'm going to try to see if anyone's home. Ding dong. Oh, you know what? I don't even know what I would roll for this. With the right preparation and our circumstances, you can communicate with the enemy as if they were on your side. By communicate, I mean, like, say, try to see if they exist and they know I exist.
That's probably hard. Connect with someone.
How would you skin this in the game, Al?
Skin what?
Like, if I want to contact an alien. Like, if I want to yell down the hole. But in a way that hopefully would.
I would probably just call it a, I don't know. That's actually kind of a good
one. Is it just a narrative move?
Yeah, probably. I mean, the move in general was designed to just be narrative. Just be, hey, you can communicate. The specific shouting down a whole thing, that's debatable.
You probably do the Freddy equivalent. Like,
creatures... Yeah, it was largely designed just to be a narrative move.
Okay.
Just cool. Hey, you can communicate with things. That's cool. Because it could be anywhere from they're aliens and you can telepathically leap with them, or you just can hack their comm systems, like any...
Cool.
So you are reaching out with your mind.
I might even just be yelling down a hole.
It's cool.
I'm doing some sort of, like, yelling is the wrong word. I'm just kind of, it's more of like a, hey, can anyone hear me kind of thing.
Oh, right. I didn't tell you the thing that I misinformed you about earlier. The actual people among the worms, the intelligent worms, are not the 4-foot blue variety. They're the 6-foot red variety. The blue ones are like a servitor worm that they have created for specific jobs.
Okay.
Anyway, you get an answer. It's not... Should I do this, like, in English, or should I just talk about the conveyed concepts?
We'd be like
trying to reach. Does not
he
right
speak
now.
Mouse?
Can he leave a message?
Freddy has some sort of.
Yeah.
If it's like, through Freddy, I would say it's just feeling.
And so I'm going to say it's. I understand it through the way Freddy would understand it because that's the way I'm used to. So when I call it psychically. Okay.
A dog.
Like if you're talking to a dog, two dogs are talking.
All right. Well. How do I deal with this? Roll connect with someone.
You've definitely got the communication like down, and that is dictatorial. But I wanted to see.
That's bad.
Okay.
That's as bad as it gets.
Well, that's good because I really just wanted you to roll as a decision making tool for me. I was like, how good do I want to be to you guys? But I had suggested that I maybe wanted some combat to happen, and so I think that. Something like that may happen. So the idea you get is a thing says back to you is like, what? Who's calling? And you know you get the sense that you interrupted someone sleeping, right? But then they're very quickly like, a rat dog? Yeah, or you know they call it what it is properly is like with neck bolts. Holy shit! It's humans. So yeah, they're suddenly freaking out. You can hear. I guess, you know, there wouldn't be out loud klaxons, but you can hear, you know, in attempting to connect to their mental net, that suddenly there's like a we're under attack alert.
Can I? I'm going to try and freak out and try to convey, no, it's okay, before I do the smart thing and run. So.
Okay.
I don't know how I would do this. I think the best thing I can do, which is what Freddy wants to do, which is flop onto my back with my belly in the air, which exposes me, by the way, because I am in Freddy's belly.
Right.
And yell out, no danger, no danger.
I mean you no harm.
Yes.
Okay. Since I made you roll before, I'm not going to make you roll for this, and I'm just going to be like the...
I can roll to keep my cool. You don't have to make me, I'm just saying, that's one of those.
Is that steel?
Yeah.
Is steel highlighted on you?
Yeah.
Roll it. I won't feel bad if you lose, because at least you got XP.
Yeah, I'm steely. That's a 9.
Splendid. Okay. Do you have any respect?
Yeah, I know it's a
weird situation. I know it's a weird situation to spend respect in, but does a respect reset when a fight starts?
It doesn't reset. You gain it in a fight.
So, no. Respect doesn't drop to zero at the beginning of a fight.
No. Oh, no. Gosh, no.
Okay.
You can keep respect as long as...
Because we haven't had a lot of spending of respect going on. Not that I know exactly how you can
use it. I'm already at zero.
You had one?
Two. I spent one to automatically interfere with the game.
Right. Does respect spending have to make sense narratively?
No, it's
okay.
More of a currency
okay.
than it is anything else.
So you could spend respect to make this pass.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you lose some respect for yourself as you flop around on your back like a dog, feigning submission. So then the guy is like, wait, what?
Shelter.
What happened to you? He's like, well, the thing is, rat dogs aren't that intelligent, so he yes. doesn't expect to be able to have a conversation
yeah.
with it. So it's sort of like, what do you guys think? Is it like a mute? You hear other voices on the line. It's like, what do you think? Is it like some kind of escaped human test subject? And one of the other guys is like, let's experiment on it. He's like, well, I suppose that is what we do here. All right. Call the superintendent. And then there's some chatter. And then suddenly the, like, worm... like comes up out of the ground. The bush sort of, it turns out the bush is sort of like a lip, like it waves off to the side, and it actually just bends over and eats you. Yeah,
I has been eaten. All right,
we're gonna cut to everyone else right now. So you guys have lost contact with this is time skipping forward a little bit because obviously
sea strike. This is why I suggested avoiding the forest.
Starfish has not checked in.
You know how Starfish is. But that doesn't bear that we need to go investigate.
I mean, it's not like stopping's a choice.
Yep.
So you guys continue in the direction of the, until you come into view of the,
bushes?
Yeah, the city. Oh yes! So I guess it's time for somebody here to try to wrap their head around this problem.
I've seen something like this before.
Oh, okay. Is this a specialist move?
Yes. I took a skill from the veteran. Or no, from... Who was this from?
Yeah, it sounds like the veteran.
I would like to assess the situation as well.
Yeah, and I will be assessing the situation.
Okay.
It's an 8.
Okay.
Actually, when you use this situation, you get a +2 instead of a +1 the first time. You act on the answers.
Assessing the situation gives you a +1 forward on subsequent decisions.
Right, right.
So you took the veteran move?
So yeah. So does assess give you answers or just does it give you questions to ask? Or
yes,
just...
Are you assessing the situation or are you wrapping your head around the problem? Because they're completely different.
I guess, are we in combat or are we...
You're not in combat.
Okay, then I guess I'll be wrapping my head around the situation.
Well, assess the situation doesn't necessarily have to be strictly speaking combat.
Is it on? Is it in the both section?
Well, no, but it since we're likely trying to figure out things from a slightly military perspective.
You're trying to figure out whether or not this is going to be combat.
Yeah, I would say that would totally work as assess the situation.
Okay, then it's another playtest moment where you want to maybe consider putting assess in both in the both column.
Well, and we. With this current setup, the setting, we're in our mechs all the time. It's not like we have a base to go to where we're lounging around in our uniforms. So it kind of blurs the line between downtime and sortie.
Yeah,
it's sort of a both.
Okay, well.
So I guess on 8, I get to ask one question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the enemy hiding?
So the thing that you've seen before is that one form of... Mice dwelling is a large worm-like creature. It's usually about 50 feet in diameter. That retract. That normally they stick up out of the ground, but they retract below the ground at night or when threatened. And that's the situation you find yourself in now.
I would also like to assess the situation. That is an 8 as well.
Okay.
What is the best way through?
The tops, there's a bunch of bushes sticking up where the which you know to be the like internal surveillance of these buildings. There's no great choices here. You guys can soldier right through it. You probably don't want to alert them to your presence, but it's their buildings. It'd be like walking down the street in the middle of New York City in a column of tanks. Mm-hmm. Most people are not going to fuck with you, but it probably won't be sustainable.
Right.
That said, this is more like walking down the street in a city that does sleep, very literally, in a column of tanks. Oh, hang on a minute. Sorry. My thing started to cut out. So when you're being chased by something much scarier. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like, well, we could try to go around, but we'll get ranged by the thumpers. We could go inside, in which case, even if we do get ranged by the thumpers, they damn sure won't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are not the type to sacrifice civilian lives.
Okay.
It's just not something the mice are known for. So there's that. But you might have to repel whatever local law enforcement can throw at you.
Okay.
But yeah, you could just walk right through the middle of it, and that's probably the best way.
Okay.
Like so it's not perfect, but it is the best.
I queue up Lieutenant Arnold on the radio. Lieutenant Arnold, our mechs onboard communication. What are ways that we will lose communication with another mech? Because I cannot hail Starfleet.
Oh, shit! This is actually more your ballpark than mine. I'm not an expert on mice communication. It's sort of a sub-radio telepathy type of job. But, I guess... You have to be doing it on purpose. Like, the mice certainly have things they can use to silence their own broadcast. So, certainly if Starfish died, and Freddy also died, that would do it. Or else they'd have to be put in some kind of chamber. Like, made of a special material, like lead-lined, you know, or a couple of dozen feet of earth would not stop it. Or, I suppose it's not earth on this planet, but you know what I mean. A couple dozen feet of stone would not stop it, so I suppose this means Starfish is dead or captured.
Excellent assessment, Lieutenant. All right. Badger, Rocket, you both heard the Lieutenant.
Are you enjoying the suspense?
Yes, I am.
Starfish has unknowingly died to us immediately without sending out any type of distress, or Starfish has been captured.
Or maybe he's laying low for some reason. Scouted ahead and got into more trouble than...
If we stop here, we're committed to going into the city. I suggest we head into the city gun blazing, because if we get ranged by the thumpers, they will not shoot at us, hopefully, inside their civilian population. Maybe Starfish is still alive, we can rescue him and push through this stupid shithole of a city that we got stuck going into. Thanks to incompetently. Sorry, something in my throat there.
Thanks for volunteering to go first, Badger.
Gladly, I take off.
All right. So do we want to call this a combat transition now, or wait until some shots are actually fired?
Sounds like it to me.
Okay.
Just a quick for story elements. Have we developed a way to communicate with higher intelligent mice?
Oh yeah. Remember, it's not a 100% hot war. There's lots of neither side would want to launch a full-scale military assault on the other side because neither side knows who would win.
And I have been presuming from the start when I was talking about, like, being obsessed with alien culture. Like, I've read the equivalent. I don't know if they have books or anything like that, but it would be whatever their equivalent was. So I might not be able to talk to them, but I am aware they have a language, may have tried to learn some of it. Or even if it's a mental communication system symbology.
They do have books.
Okay, so that's what I would have read.
They don't work exactly the same as our books, but they can be translated into humanese books. I'm going to say that their technology is probably something more akin to books on tape where you, like, stick something in your ear and it downloads the information into your brain telepathically.
Cool.
Or something like that. But it's like listening to a thing. It's like listening to a voice in your head, so it does take time to consume.
Right.
Well, I think I'm going to follow Badger in, and I'm Ace Pilot, and I expect stuff to go wrong, so I'm going to go ahead and roll my Ace Pilot move. That's a 9, so I hold 2. And can spend them during the battle.
Don't forget that you've got your +1 forward from the assess. You've got your special +2 forward from the assess, and Badger, you've got the +1 as well.
Right.
Because I will not remember that, so you guys have to remember it for me. Rand calls you up, Strike. She's like, Captain, what are our orders going to be? Are we coming to a halt inside the city here?
What was the person's name who is our ranger?
Gage.
Lieutenant, confer with Specialist Gage.
He's actually just a private.
Private Gage, and see what the best course is. Quickest distance to get out of range of bumpers is, and then execute on that course.
Oh, so we're going to keep on moving without you.
I'm expecting heavy combat here, and I don't want you anywhere near it.
So escort the convoy.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. All right, so they're actually just going to continue trundling right through the middle of the city is the problem. I mean, that's the... If you try to go around, thumpers are going to have them in a second. I mean, Badger did say... Badger did figure out accurately that the best way was straight through, and you kind of have sussed that out as well. But, of course, if they're going straight through, there's no knowing whether they'll run into local law enforcement. Though, probably local law enforcement will be something the Marines can handle.
Okay.
I think we said there were didn't I say there were 20? How many Marines did I say there were?
16, I believe.
Yeah.
16. Okay. Yeah. So 16 Marines.
15 and a half.
Yeah. Okay. 15.
15.75.
He can man the turret.
Yeah. Thompson can't walk, but he can shoot. I mean, he's a little dopey right now. They're gonna be like, Thompson, shoot that way, shoot away from us.
I imagine our civilian personnel, too, would be like, well, okay, something's trying to kill me, and I haven't got anyone come and rescue me, so I'll probably fire that gun.
I don't think we have any civilian personnel.
No. Dr. Hukov. He's not exactly a civilian, but he's not exactly military either.
I'm taking the misfit move, by the way, monster +1 armor.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, everyone here is actually pretty competent. I'd say Lieutenant Arnold and Specialist Stanzi are probably the weakest links in terms of a firefight. Oh, besides Dr. Hugo. Because Reese is a Tai Chi master.
Oh, yeah.
And Thompson, like I said, Thompson can't walk, but he can shoot. He's still a freaking Marine.
Does Tai Chi help you against a worm?
Probably not. Unless it totally helps you against the worm. But Sergeant Reese always gets the worm. I don't even need to be early.
Do we just establish that Sergeant Reese has worms and is some type of rat dog?
I was going to choose to take it as a dick joke, because we already have established that he's into everything.
Yeah.
But not a rat dog yet.
That's true. He is. Well, as far as I know, it's true. I feel Freddy would have told me.
If Badger ever gets to talking, opening up and talking about it, Reese is going to be like, really?
Do tell more.
Hang on a minute. Let me get my notebook out. Yes, yes. Upside down, huh? You don't think. Okie dokie. So, right. So you guys are deploying into the city. So, Which way are you guys going? The convoy is going straight through the center of the city anyway. You can,
I assumed we take a spearhead. Basically, just take a point, range ahead of the convoy a little bit.
All right.
Shoot anything that looks dangerous.
All right. You see, what I want to do is have stuff happen with you guys, and then flash back to what has been happening with you. Because I feel
no
like
it... with that?
Yeah.
Okay, well then that's what I'm going to do. You don't mind waiting a little longer, do you? Okay. I feel like I've given you too much attention, and yeah. So you guys probably get a good ways before it seems like anything reacts to you at all. When you're about, well, I'm going to go maybe 2 miles into the city, which is going to be good and safe from Thumper Fire. Like, that's, there's numerous buildings around you, numerous worm buildings around you. Even if they're buried, they're not going to get fired on.
Right.
Zingers are another story, of course. Mm-hmm. But one of the ground starts to rumble. And it becomes apparent that one of the buildings nearby is getting ready to surface. You guys have time to make preparatory action.
Jump out of the way?
There is such a thing as cover here, because you can seek cover from the C&I bushes. You obviously don't have cover from the bush, because it can see you, but you do have cover from other bushes.
Mm. I'm going to open up a communication channel to it.
Okay.
And I'm going give me a second to wrap my head around how I want to phrase this for maximum ridiculous.
Okay. I'm going to feel so bad for Rocket if you totally subvert the combat here.
And me? I need respect. Rocket is sitting on 4 respect. I've burnt all mine.
What my plan is I'm going to be like, you have the right to surrender.
Oh, so this is an intimidate check.
But basically, I'm trying to keep my cool because I know we're drastically outnumbered, but I'm fairly sure I can intimidate them because we are in tank in the middle of the town.
Okay.
So, citizen of... what is their species called? I assume we know.
You couldn't pronounce their name in their own tongue anyway, but it's a telepath. It's a psychic communication, so you can convey to them. Attention, worm guys.
Attention, citizens of Worm City Alpha Prime. You have the right to surrender right now. Any hostile actions will be met with immediate and hostile force. You have 1 minute to comply.
What was that?
My, probably keep my cool to, like, not shit a brick.
Okay. I almost feel like it's do something gutsy. This feels stylish that's than steelish.
Okay, then, that is a 5.
Well, okay, that's still not good enough.
I will spend a respect to...
it's not, only a social
situation.
Social.
Right.
Gain respect in combat, yeah.
See, I'm getting it.
Someone could assist.
Yeah.
Badger doesn't care enough to.
Oh, you're not gonna go up there and cock a shotgun or something and be like...
Well, I could, but...
Like, I like being scary, but I like Strike to fail.
Yeah.
Man, I wish you hadn't said that. I sure was looking to shoot something.
Breaking out my best psychic southern accent.
That's a 5 to help.
Well, table flip. Okay.
I'm just going to be taking some steps back.
You get a response. Tension, earthen intruders. You have the option to surrender, in which case we will take you alive. If you do not comply within 30 seconds, we will take your remains alive.
Like, see you try, you sons of bitches.
You're not on this you're not in this communication. You don't have a
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yes, you do have a psychic jack. Okay. All right. It turns out that Badger has a psychic jack you didn't know about.
Interesting.
Well, I didn't think I had to transmit to everybody.
You have, if you are receiving their, if you're receiving their ultimatum and you heard his ultimatum, then,
I thought it was a direct, I thought we established when I was in Freddy that it was a directional thing.
So we have, Freddy has a thing that is on the line of the aliens in addition to whatever our
soul. Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. Yeah. I didn't say that. Never mind. Okay.
Then you probably actually weren't even privy to that conversation at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do have a neural link.
Because she has a neural link, she might.
Okay. All right, well, anyway, so I'm guessing you're not surrendering.
No.
Man, I would have loved for you to succeed at that role, too, because they totally would have surrendered. Mayor would have come out and been like, surrender. Please don't kill us.
I'm just imagining the little worm from Adventure Time.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna. I don't know if this is getting in someone's face or I guess going guns blazing.
It's a combat.
Yeah, so we're
in combat. It's going guns blazing. It would be. Well, it depends on what you want to do.
I'm guessing I'm here. How big are one of these worm spires? You said about.
They're 50 feet in diameter. They're monstrous. Diameter. You can hurt them real easy. They're not like. Well, I you don't have a good look at them yet, so I don't know how much you know. I don't know how much research you've done. These aren't super well known.
I don't think I would have done much because my current project is more in bone regeneration, and I doubt these guys have much bone.
No, they have no bones.
Oh, well then.
They are one of the boneless mice.
What a great phrase.
Yeah.
So let's see, we're in about 15 foot tall mechs. So how large would an explosion that hits multiple 15 tall mechs ballpark?
I don't know. How any size of more than like. It depends on the proximity of the mechs. Are you talking about myself a lot?
No, I'm talking about mine.
Yeah, they're rumbling like something's about to erupt.
Okay.
All right.
Because remember, you can't. They're down still.
That's the reason I'm not shooting right now.
Well, I thought that the lid thing. I thought the lid thing was part of a biological.
I think
it is.
It like glom. Just talked to me and
it reached. It went up, arced over, and.
What was the top thing on top of the
bush?
Yeah,
the bush was the lid.
Yeah. The bush is a lid, but then
the part of the critter?
The mouth at the top is more or less a circular worm mouth. Like the bush isn't really a lip; it's just a it's a sensory organ that needs to be dangling off somewhere. So anyway, they punch up, or one of them it actually rises up sort of slowly. And
are there windows or doors?
Nope,
or...
it has got a smooth body.
I'm looking for something to lock onto.
Well, center mass. It certainly has. I mean. Let me finish. Unless you want to fire before it has a chance. Like, I gave you guys an opportunity to preparative action. You didn't do anything. Well, I guess you assisted, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, nothing had happened yet. It was just all radio chatter.
Well, there was a rumbling, I remember.
Well, there was rumbling, but there's nothing coming up. As soon as something's coming up, you know, I'm going to look for something to shoot at. If it's all solid, there's nothing to shoot at.
You know, there totally is. In the holes.
It doesn't look armored in any way. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty soft. So you could probably do a lot of damage to it pretty much wherever you shoot.
How far away is it right now?
From you guys? The one that's popping up is not one of the ones immediately adjacent to you. It's actually like a block over. So it's probably 100 yards away.
So far, very far.
What's 100 close? Yards? That's a football field. So that's probably medium range for you guys.
Yeah, it's close or far, depending on...
This is not a medium?
No, it goes close. I'd probably...
Oh, like this far and very far.
I'd probably lump it into close because these are mechs with big-ass guns.
Okay. So it's a close range.
Fuck it, I'm gonna launch missiles.
Okay. Roll guns, blaze.
And start jetting towards it.
Yeah. Blaze it.
That is a 5.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, so your missiles impact on the surface of its skin. And there's, you know, smoke, orange goop flies everywhere, you know, blood is spewing. And then out of that smoke, suddenly a bunch of, blue worms just start, like almost a wave of them, just start pouring out onto the ground towards you guys.
You're making motions with your hands that make me think of, starlings flocking.
Okay.
Or the
right.
The sentinels from Matrix.
Yes. Mm. Yes. It is.
Which is basically.
It is an innumerable swarm. That is like this is not hundred. This is not dozens or hundreds. It's thousands. They're all about 4 feet long. These are the ones that I mistakenly described earlier, the servitor worms. Mm. So you guys don't really know anything about their combat capabilities. You just know that they are chattel and. That much you could guess from the quantity.
Let's fuck them up. I have missiles that do area and salvo.
That seems like good tags.
Well, I hope you're firing them fast. I already said I was jetting towards them.
Yeah, I'm gonna basically just
leaping into trouble without a plan.
Sounds good. Plus one for awesome tags, and I get plus one because of re-situation, plus three because it's fire, so that's a plus five. Crushed. That is a 13.
All right.
So
you deal damage and
take 3 damage.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have been a 7.
That would have been a 7.
But it's
what do you do?
Nice big.
I forgot about my plus 2.
Oh. Oh well, it's too late now.
This way we are murdering civilians.
Shots fired.
Yeah, so I'm basically just going to try to spread it out.
Okay.
In a nice big area, give her some breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
Just big salvo of missiles.
Well, I'm not because you rolled a full success mm-hmm. and you have area. I'm assuming you got an extra bonus for tagging area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that how that works? You give yourself a bonus on the roll, not a bonus on the damage.
Yeah, it's bonus. Yeah. It's okay. Bonus on the roll.
You're able to hold back the tide. You just mince them. So far things are going very well for you guys. You can arrest your momentum if you want to, or wade into melee.
I'm gonna wade into melee, and I have a stun gun.
Hmm.
And so as soon as they start swarming towards me, I'm gonna wait till like the last possible moment.
I'll obviously stop salvoing missiles when she gets into close combat.
That will be awesome. I'm gonna try and I guess is this this be stand firm or
it's probably still normal? Another it's probably another guns blazing
yeah.
if you're trying to hurt.
It depends on what your objective is.
You have the initiative right now. They're mm-hmm. not coming at you. They're on the retreat from Badger's withering assault. So, incidentally, Strike, feel free to like just take initiative when you want to, since I didn't give you a turn yet.
Yeah, I'm gonna live.
Okay.
I just want to try and they're running. Keep them running.
Mm-hmm.
So let's blaze some guns. This is stun, so maybe 5, 6, 7.
How does it stun again? I know you told me this.
It's the shock bee things, right?
Yeah.
The wasps or something?
Yeah, I think it's like biological EMP at close range or something like that.
Okay. So it can. Like, so does it have area?
No.
All right.
It's not the only one with an area weapon.
I have an area weapon.
You have an
area.
Okay, good.
Yeah. This might not be the... Okay, so stun might not be the most useful tag against this because you can only really stun one of them at a time, which, you know, is meaningless against a churning mass.
It's two damage, and I would assume it's intended for other mechs. So if there's bunches of small ones, it's probably hitting half a dozen at a time.
Especially
not
if
enough,
they're in a clump swarm.
Not enough to really be a huge deal, but...
What was your total result?
9.
Okay, so yeah, you do some damage, but some of them get on you. It becomes apparent that they are secreting some kind of acid.
Mm.
So they actually... How does this work? They deal their damage to you?
Sure.
Because what happens on a gun's blazing medium success?
They give ground or take the full brunt of my attack. Their choice.
Oh.
So either they retreat or I stun the fuck out of them.
If they bear the brunt of your attack, do they get to damage you?
Yeah. It's basically either...
Because I don't understand why you would ever bear the brunt.
It's either exchange damage,
uh-huh.
or they give ground and allow her to accomplish whatever objective she was going for.
Okay. No, they are definitely going to go with the exchange of damage, because that's kind of their job. So that's going to be 2 damage. It's not armor piercing.
Then I shrug it off.
No, fully armored.
I have extra armor right now for leaping into trouble without a plan or concern for my own safety.
Oh, excellent. All right, so they get on you, but you're able to, you know, flick them off and stuff before they do any real damage. You've got some... The finish is messed up a bit. But yeah, it turns out these things' basic job is to just stick to you.
Mm.
Which is now apparent to the two of you.
Okay.
All right. What do you got, Strike?
I'm going to set... I'll communicate to you again to accept your surrender after we finish up with this. And then I'm going to engage with my...
Mm-hmm.
What I name it. My Grinder Mark 47 Laser SMG.
Okay.
How vulnerable do... Or I guess this is a close weapon.
Mm-hmm.
How much danger am I putting Rocket in by shooting it there? I'm assuming that I can target kind of where they're coming out from.
It's a machine gun, so...
It's an SMG, so it's a little bit less accurate.
Yeah, you don't want to fire directly... You don't want to fire in real close proximity to your own people.
Yeah.
But you could certainly shoot some of them. You can't kill all the worms, though. You can't...
Oh, definitely.
Some of them are getting cover from... Well, you could attempt to kill all of them if Rocket weren't there.
Yeah, so yeah. And it is rapid fire.
Hit it.
That is an 8.
Okay.
And I am targeting where the worms are spewing out of, but...
This was another guns blazing?
Yes.
All right, to you... So is there any relevance to the closeness here, since they only have melee?
understand the question.
So, well, it doesn't seem like they should be able to exchange damage since strike is at close range and the enemy only has melee.
Then they don't exchange damage.
Okay. Well, then they give ground.
Or just take damage.
But,
it's left vague and up to interpretation.
I guess
so it's like a wave. They could take it and then it's just there now in a place where they can start doing it.
Okay. Yeah, they'll take the damage and get closer to you. So next time you do something, they're upon you. They haven't touched you yet, but they're definitely moving into melee. The wave. Okay, so the smoke is cleared a bit, and it turns. So the side of the worm was actually blown quite open. The wave of attack has subsided, and that worm starts to retract back into the ground. Another two are rising up much farther away. Like, you can kind of see them in the distance, but it's dark. You know, it's. I guess you can see them because you've got the infrared overlay, so you see the you know, yellow light suddenly as they start to come out.
Right.
In fact, you've got infrared. All the ground around you is getting hotter. Like, it was pretty cool before. Like, you could tell there was living things under it, but everything is warming up. Like, you can see the colony beneath your feet start to wake up.
So, I want to do something gutsy and get in that hole before it retracts.
The worm itself is actually tight to the edge of its own hole. So you mean get inside the hole in the worm?
Yes.
Okay, that you can do.
Like, I'm gonna go and infiltrate them, and maybe it's a bad idea, maybe it's not, we'll see.
Deepen
but
yourself.
If thousands of little blue worms can come out, one big scary mech.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
And that's gonna be a 7.
Can I assist? Maybe by, like, shooting the hole wider?
Yes, you could also attempt to clear blue worms.
Yeah, I'll just clear a path for you. And we do a friendship, so that is a 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
What is a plus 3?
Never mind. Just 7, 8. Anyway.
Still, that's enough to... Yep. That kicks up one degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's...
Oh,
that's
but you get, like, attracted attention or something, don't you?
Well, it depends.
I think you get a choice of drawbacks.
You may also suffer repercussions for getting involved.
Right, yeah.
Oh, so sure. it's not like a choice of attract unwanted attention and then...
You're thinking of come to the rescue.
Okay.
This is just an assist.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a medium success on an assist, is there maybe negative consequences for you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they might decide to swing around and try and get you.
What were you actually doing with that assist?
Launching missiles.
Okay.
Just trying to clear a path to the worm.
All right. Your missile batteries are temporarily depleted. You need to take a moment to reload.
Okay.
That's your... You've just burned through a lot of missiles in very rapid time, so you're going to need... Like, you know, so it's like... You know, they fold over to your back where more missiles get pulled out of batteries or out of magazines. So, yeah, you get inside. What were your methods of perception again? Because night vision is not going to be useful.
Metabolism, earth, light.
Yeah. Ah, perfect. That is exactly the form of sight that you need, because once you're in there, you're basically moving through fluid membranes.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of like pull your way through something. Do you have hands? Yeah, you're the most humanoid one here, aren't you?
I don't know that I didn't draw hands.
Okay.
My mech is agile, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll do. That's good.
It is also worth noting that it's temperamental. So,
within the worm, it's like... the walls are tight to you, but you can just kind of push through them and you know, dig in directions. You can also see with your biomass detection the structure of the worm quite nicely. It's like looking through a building made of glass. So it's confusing, but you can see the floors, you can see the orifices and whatnot, and most importantly, you can see the inhabitants moving around. There's a red hot like cortex down a little ways into the worm that is clearly the like center of influence going in every direction, the driver, so to speak.
Seems like an important thing. I'll head for that.
There's also several, you can see more waves of blue worms. Actually, you can see them kind of coming into being as like a big bladder sort of like is gurgling and undulating, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then suddenly it squeezes in and a bunch of blue worms pop out the front, and then it starts swelling again. So it's pumping waves of blue worms up into the center of the worm, and then you can see them like spiraling up towards you.
Mm.
If one of those flows over you, you've got a few seconds. If one of those flows over you, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to survive.
I see.
It's going to be a serious acid bath, but you could definitely make it to the cortex. Okay. Strike, what are you doing?
Badger, you know the drill. You're range ground control. I got the ones up close. Let's do this. And then I start... And I begin to engage the close ones, and I'm going to use my... Bone splitter, which is an area melee,
mm-hmm.
much like a shotgun blast against the close worms to us. So my goal is to drive them back
mm-hmm.
away from us.
Okay.
That is a 10.
You didn't even need my assistance.
Okay. So you drive them back.
Okay. It's like my bone projectile kind of goes out and then it just explodes
yeah.
in this shard of
yeah, bones. You push them back very effectively. Right, and so, yeah, that's what you do. You've bought time for both of you so that she can reload, and you can be somewhat comfortable, though Rocket is going to need to be extracted at some point here, probably.
Well, so is Starfish, so...
But we don't know that quite yet.
So I'm gonna how take... far is the convoy through?
I was actually just getting to that, but I decided the convoy wasn't going to be in trouble yet because I'm waiting for my next opportunity to make a hard move.
Cool.
I think now would be a good time to take a brief interlude to cover what Starfish is doing. Does that sound good to everyone, or do you guys mm-hmm. want to continue the combat? We can actually resolve this combat to a breaking point and then do it.
No, that's fine. I think this is fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually kind of thinking that.
All right, so the thing swallowed you up, and then you were like quickly shunted down some kind of tube.
How does it feel?
You know, it's sliding through a flesh tube. It's like being swallowed, okay. You imagine. Until you pop out
cool gin and tonic again.
Into a chamber. Well, I guess at some point you stop, and then suddenly the whole chamber inflates. So there's free space around you. You can stand up again. You're on sort of a... The floor feels like vulcanized rubber.
Okay.
So it's not hard, but it's not soft either.
I can get my footing.
Yes, you can definitely get your footing. You can stand up and look around. You know, Freddy can stand up and look around.
Try and,
mm-hmm.
you know, snip at things. What is the chamber like? So is there anything that this would be familiar, like familiar to a human, anything about this?
You could believe that there's some tools, but they are very... They mostly are how can I describe this? They're dangling from the walls, like hanging by a fleshy thread. And so there's like a thing that looks like a cluster of grapes, and a thing that looks like a smooth, like green, like a bunch of green balls, right? And there's a thing that is red and fuzzy, and or you know it has like undulating little cilia on it. And then there's a thing that is like a blue pear. That has an obvious orifice on the end. So these could be good for something, but they're all attached to the... They're all part of the chamber. They're all physically attached to the walls.
But they are hanging as if, say, one would hang mm-hmm. yard tools in a garage.
Yes.
Okay.
So, So the room is kind of dome-shaped at this point. Like I said, you've got a largely flat floor, but the room is inflated like a balloon. Between the wall, the floor sort of wraps down, like the floor itself is something that's inflated up into a cavity. And through the space between the wall and the floor, a creature squeezes through, sort of slithering. It's, you know it to be one of the red worms. In fact, two or three red worms come, like, squeezing in. You can tell that they are, I mean, they're not identical. Like, you can see some distinction between one of them is probably a little bit older, one of them is a little bit fatter, one of them, you know, or skinnier or whatever. And they sort of crawl up to you somewhat cautiously. One of them moves over to the side and slithers up into the blue thing, into the orifice on the end of the blue thing, and then it just comes off. So it's basically got this blue thing on its head,
okay.
which it just snaps away from the wall when it wants it, or when it pulls away. And so it starts slithering towards you with this blue pear aimed at you. And I guess they're still in communication with you. Someone was like, "Hey, buddy." What happened to you? you, you poor thing. Surgical scars everywhere. They kind of start, like, slithering around your body.
Hold on.
Investigating it.
Hold on. It's cool. There was an accident, and, so we're one thing. We're two things, but one thing. Does that make sense? I'm trying to convey this with pictures.
Right. So, one of them that has not come over and made contact is like, kids, I think there's a human inside it.
That's right.
What do we do? I'm like, I think we need security. So, moments later, a bunch of the blue, like a blue worm starts slithering into the side of the room, but they just kind of stand there, like wiggling. It's like, okay, human, I know you can hear me in there.
I'm talking.
Oh, good. So don't try anything funny. We've got
blue worms.
Yes, and they can totally melt you, like lickety split, faster than you can snap your freaky, rigid, bony fingers.
I don't know what shame feels like across the psychic.
Anyway, they finally come to the fact of the matter, which is they want you out. And they're like, get out of that rat dog. Show your face, your gross face.
But you have to promise not to hurt Freddy.
Yeah, okay. I think we can manage.
Okay.
They're like totally incredulous at the suggestion. Like, you fucking monster. You tortured the shit out of it.
And I'm just gonna like inject myself and emerge dripping and disgusting from my Freddy hole.
You can. Oh, I guess you're not in communication anymore then, huh?
Well, I'm in something.
All right. So
I have a feeling that if I'm for example, maybe if I'm holding on to him or something, if I'm close enough to him, I can do it.
Actually, we've got a better plan than this. One of them slithers over to the wall and a thing like comes protruding through the wall. At this point, by the way, now that you're outside Freddy and not looking through his, you know, eyes with your human eyes, you can actually see that this dome is translucent.
Oh, cool.
To Freddy, it's opaque, but to your human eyes, you can see there's like 100 red worms just like looking in through the side of the dome.
Okay.
Now, they don't have eyes, so they're probably perceiving you on some other spectrum. Infrared, perhaps.
Yeah. Like,
anyway, so one of them walks up and like pushes a thing through the membrane, another apparatus, and one of them swims up and it, again, same trick, puts it on its head and slithers up to you, and it's like a little red egg thing that seems really slimy, and it's trying to put it on your forehead. Do you resist?
No.
Okay.
I am so excited.
So it squishes the thing onto your forehead and then backs off a little bit, and you feel it like. It feels like hot water on your skin, and like it's kind of starting. It almost feels like it's seeping through, but it doesn't feel like it's breaking the skin. And it gives you this weird head rush feeling, like the skin of your scalp is falling asleep. And then you slowly start to get the psychic connection reopens, and it's like, can you hear me? Can you understand what I am saying?
I can understand what you are saying.
Eureka! We have made contact. And all the worms outside just start like
wiggling.
Start wiggling. You get the impression this is the scent. In fact, you know what? You can just hear it. This is worm applause.
It's worm applause.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's a scientific breakthrough.
Is this a research facility?
This is a university.
University?
Yes,
what university is this?
And they say a word that is unpronounceable. It's only
and that I'm deeply conveyable. Excited about because I must have something.
It's only conveyable in a psychic language. But so the information is conveyed to you that this is actually an extremely prestigious medical university on their planet.
That we're fucking up.
I want to say even I'm familiar with their research on. What would be something really ominous?
Roll brains for this.
That's good. That's a lot. Right.
Okay. So yes, you may make up a thing.
I am familiar with their research on physical tolerances for vertebrate survival.
That's good. And then like, oh my. Well, I suppose that would be relevant to you with your spine.
Well, I try to get my. I've tried to read everything I can get my hands on. Well, you know what I'm trying to...
Yeah, you can. When you speak to them and you say the word for read, they hear the word for plug one of the little brain things into your head. And they're like, wow, it's like a human scientist.
Well,
they have those? Well, they must.
I...
Why is it here?
Well, we're doing, the goal for us was to do science. I wanted to come because I wanted to do science and I wanted to find out things. Other people are trying to learn, like, technology things or want to find things, like, find things out about mice technology.
Mm. One of them, you hear one of them in the background be like, oh, we're going to do science, all right. And then the crowd, like, chuckles sinisterly.
Could I ask a question? A question that you just not related to?
Sure, why not? That seems like a thing that you're physiologically capable of.
Well, no, I mean, okay.
Says the professor.
Yes.
It's
no,
clear that one of them is the professor.
Sarcastic.
Yeah, and then, like, there's, you know, there's basically a bunch of grad students around, and a lot of them are, like, totally in awe. Like, this is the coolest thing! The other kids are gonna be so jealous!
So...
I touched a human.
This, so Freddy... is...
Oh, yeah, I suppose Freddy is standing there, like, oh.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of rubbing my hands, like, petting, trying to calm. Mm-hmm. Though he's probably okay. Yeah. Freddy is just excited about things in general.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened to Freddy. Freddy was... I didn't meet Freddy until after he was like this, and I don't know what they did. But people say that he can't think, but I know he can think because I talked to him. So what... Is there another brain?
Oh, well, the professor is like, huh, I guess I wasn't pretty. You know what, he looks out to the gallery and he's like, class, can anyone answer the human's question? Like, one of the worms sort of wiggles in a certain way. You're getting to the impression that there's actually, like, a language of this, so, like, one motion is a positive emotional expression and one motion is a questioning expression. So one of them is like, oh, I know, me, and is like, blur, and he's like, oh, rad dogs actually think with their skin. The part that, or the brain cavity is just used, and then he describes a bunch of, like, like, sub-processes. Like, it processes its eyesight for it, but their actual memory is held on the surface of their skin.
That's badass. I'm following that away in there.
Though Freddy is also, like, nightmarishly mutilated because Freddy's skin has been cut apart a lot.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny enough, directly connected to their camouflage reflex.
That's
so
cool.
When they show colors, that's actually more or less their language.
Like cuttlefish. Okay. So they took out... So that's why he's blind. Okay. So I'm not sure what I should do here. I just was trying to figure out what this place was. There are pods. There was a crash. And I don't know what happened to the other group. But I saw a town, and I know that, well, I recognized that it was a town, so I thought maybe someone here could help, but I didn't know it was the university.
Incidentally, it's become clear to you that the blue thing on his head is a recording device. It's a typewriter. He's psychically recording everything that's going on here. That's why the professor is wearing it.
Mm.
So anyway, at a certain point, he kind of cuts the other, he's like, hang on a second, so there are more humans? How many humans have you brought to Barnjo?
I didn't bring them. They brought me.
I guess they don't have a concept of lying because they convey information psychically, so they believe you. But actually, you are lying to a certain extent.
Well, okay. So I don't want to come for military reasons. The reason I agreed to come, first off, was because my mentor was going on this mission.
Hmm.
Feral.
Right.
And because I am super excited about mice and everything about mice.
Right.
So I feel like I was compelled by the military, but am at least happy for the opportunity to see these things.
I see.
So that is not a lie.
Okay, fair enough. One of the grad students is like, do we need to, like, call the police or something? I feel like this is sort of an Air Force problem. The word, he actually says a word that translates in your brain as Air Force, which is a little bit terrifying because, you know.
They have an Air Force.
Yeah. It might be that it's sort of a snap to grid thing.
Mm.
The neat thing about, like, psychic communication is if something is not directly, if something doesn't directly translate, your brain just finds the closest out analog. But it wasn't Army or Navy, it was Air Force, which conveys a certain sense of, of mechanical separation from combat, like the mecha armed forces.
Mm.
And then the professor is like, that's actually a really good point. If it's alive, we could vivisect it and I doubt they could say anything about it. I have a lot of pull with the president. And then the grad students are like, ooh, vivisected human. What are we gonna do with the rat dog? It's like, do we just set it loose? They're just kind of talking over you at this point. And like, we can't let it loose in nature. That would be inhumane. We could put it out of its misery. It's obviously suffering substantially.
Jeez. So I'm going to try to connect with someone.
Okay.
I'm going to
roll it.
Look at that professor.
Like, look, Dr. Worm. That one's for you, Duncan.
Dr. Worm is a famous research physician.
Uh-oh.
And I guess I'm just disgusting to them.
Do you have a thing that gives you a benefit of any kind on this? Like,
oh, I have respect.
Oh, I suppose there's that. I was going to say, do you have an alien mind or something like that?
I do have alien mind.
Well, alien mind, do you have anything that's like, oh yeah, you get a bonus when trying to communicate with something weird or...
No, I don't think there's anything like that.
Okay. You don't have a social situation for weirdos.
Nah.
All right.
But...
Yeah, but you can definitely spend respect to kick it up.
Yeah,
it's totally social. Okay. Yeah. Which kicks it up to a medium, right?
I can kick it up to the hardcorest.
Can you spend multiple respect that way?
Which one?
Just one.
Okay.
Respect per
medium.
That should be in the rules. I'm not sure it is. It is?
I thought it was.
Okay.
You can only do this once per roll.
Okay.
All right. So, ask your question.
Okay.
I think it's going to be, how can I get out of this alive?
Yes. Or, you know what it is? It's going to be, how could I get you to let me and Freddy not... How could I get you to not vivisect or kill me and Freddy?
How can I get you to let me live?
Yes.
Okay.
But I want to convey, I also don't want to be vivisected. Because that's the thing that happens while you're alive.
Well, there's a couple of...
So,
here's a couple of things that won't work. You can't try to convey that you know something. You're like, oh, I have knowledge that could be useful. It's like, no, we can get that. Hmm. We kill you, we can totally find out everything your brain knew. And you can't try to appeal to them ethically, because clearly they don't even have a concept of your moral patiency, right? Not dissimilar to the way you might regard a worm.
Well, not the way I would regard a worm.
But you know what I mean. So... it's gonna have to be a threat. It's gonna have to be a negative consequence directly to them for if something bad happens to you.
You need... Okay.
So that isn't to say you need to threaten them, but you need to make them recognize that they could be punished for this.
Yes.
It could be something as indirect as loss of prestige for the university.
I could do that. I could lie to them. I could try to lie to them.
Or it could be, my big brother is coming, and when he does, he's gonna vaporize you.
Have you ever seen a human adult?
Okay, so let's see here now. Do I have you roll something like get in face?
I think that might be a seduce or manipulate.
Okay. Have you ever seen a human adult? Okay, and he's like, well, not as such. We mostly focus on curing diseases and whatnot here. We're a medical university, not a xenobiological freak show.
So you don't know what we're like when, you know, we develop.
What are you getting at? That's essentially a yes.
On humans have their own system of communication. It's a little bit more primitive, a little more ancient. When we reach a certain point in our life cycle, it ceases to be reasonable. But at the same time, more sensitive. There's a problem that we have. Sometimes we keep it under wrap. It's a problem with our species. I'm sure you understand. You have your own things, your own difficulties, problems with the geriatric stages of life.
By the way, I'm just going to throw this out there. When you said, have you ever seen a human adult? One of the students all the way in the back started raising his hand, like psychically, and the two... Yeah, bless me. The two students next to it, like, both looked at it and, like, shamed it into sitting down again. And you're pretty sure that that student is the same problem as you.
Yeah!
All right, so anyway, so you were saying... You become sensitive.
I'm sensitive. And, you know.
Does this function cease when you stop living?
I'm not talking about your problem with me. I'm talking about the kind of things that'll come for you if they notice that I've been snuffed out.
Who's they? He says in a, like, or it's clear that he's attempting to hide his intimidation, but he's also mildly, you know what, I think it's time to roll style.
Cool. That's not so bad. That's
I see a 5.
It's a 9.
Oh, okay.
Do you have another respect?
Yeah. Kill it.
All right. So yeah, it's clear. So what does that give you on the seduce or manipulate? It's just they do what you want?
Yeah, so on a 10 plus they do it, yeah. And so basically I'm telling them that there's some other life stage of humans that is terrifying and ancient and awful and will come and eat them. And they just happen to identify, like, you know, yeah. I'm banking on them not knowing enough about our species for that to not be a possibility to them.
Okay, so the professor is like,
And I'm sending them a fucking terrifying picture.
Right, right. Both the grad students, I said there were three, right? There were, yes. So both the grad students kind of look at each other, and they're like, uh-oh, what have we gotten ourselves into? It's sort of like if you, if everybody was in a lab, like, studying something, and you, like, had a mouse, and you cut the mouse open, and you looked in it, and there was, like, just a big old radioactive label on a big piece, on something inside it, and it was like, warning, you're being massively irradiated, and they're like, uh-oh, okay.
I think those things, well, point is...
Wait a minute, you asked to be brought in here!
I did, I don't want to be hurt. When I say snuffed out, I'm not talking about your psychic links, I'm talking about something different, I'm talking about something... We sent. And, you know, I don't want trouble. I come in here trying to find things out. I am a scientist.
Oh.
I just want to know. And I don't know what they're going to do. If they think that you've hurt me, they might hurt you. And I don't want that.
Okay. Let's just everybody calm down.
Is there something you can do for Freddy?
Oh, I'm not a vet. I'm a proper doctor, said the worm. Ah, boy. You know what? But I do know the best vet in the universe.
Who is that?
Oh, it's not a, not one of, or he's not a red worm. He's a, and then he says another thing, and it's some other, you recognize it to be one of the other my species, one that's more vaguely humanoid. He's like, gosh, is he even on planet? I'll put in a call. Yes.
I just don't want him to... I don't know. I know he hurt.
All right. So, let's have you hang... let's have you remain here. And so the professor and the grad students quickly... He pushes his typewriter back through the wall. And then he and the grad students sort of slither back down through the edges of the room. A thing that you're pretty confident neither you or Freddy could do.
Yeah.
The security sentinels just kind of stay there, undulating.
I kind of want to try to talk to them at some point, but that can be after
okay. They
go back to them.
Anyway, he goes back outside, and you can't hear them anymore, but, like, a lot of the class stays. Some of the class goes, the professor goes, but there's a lot of them, like, just standing there staring at you for a while. After about an hour of that, most of them have left. You know, they've gotten bored with it, because you're not doing anything particularly interesting unless you, like, I don't know, want to scratch yourself or something.
Could I try to communicate with... If it's not going to take away from their time, I'd like to try to communicate with one of the boy worms.
Okay, sure. It turns out that they're actually basically dogs. Like they're equivalent to dogs. They're real dumb. So you like you can say hey buddy, and then they'll just be like bark psychically. But you can also tell that they regard you as an intruder. So okay. They probably won't jump you unless given the order. They're probably well trained. But it's not the kind of thing that you can mess with.
It's like a Rottweiler. Okay.
You can also converse with some of the students at the wall for a little while as you do. You definitely discover that there is a worm in this class who you're going to try to do your best to recognize.
Yeah.
It's not going to be trivial. They don't wear clothes or anything. But there's one in this class who is like super duper fascinated, but the others hate her. and just don't want to give her, like, and keep, like, bullying her and stuff like that for being a fucking freak.
Yeah.
So, but you can, like, a lot of them are, like...
I can technically engage with that one, so.
Yeah, so a lot of them are, but, well, not without the others overhearing. Yeah. You don't have that kind of direct control, but a lot of them are like, so, what's this like? And there's, like, so what's with the wrap? Is that like a hide? Is that like a sheddable thing? What's going on with it? They're talking about your...
It's cold.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, like it's...
What is the ideal temperature range for your species?
Between, like, 71 and... it's between, like, 65 and 78 degrees.
That's
pretty odd range. Yeah.
Well, that's not so bad. Like, one of the students is like, man... Poor, and then mentions one of the other sentient species is like, they need to have it at exactly this. That's why they never go outside their bubble suit. 1 degree warmer or colder, and they just break down entirely into like a gross foam. It's terrible.
I'm essentially trying to just establish a rapport with them.
Yes, okay. So, anyway, after about an hour of that, suddenly there's violent shaking, and you can hear, like, reverberating through the walls of the worm, the telltale sounds of, Rocket's Hornet bombs.
Shit.
They're like, well, there's that higher, one of the other students is like, oh no, it's the evolver,
adult form.
What is it? What is an insect when it goes, because it's larva, pupa, and what's the last form?
Oh shit, what is that?
Because it's not just called adult, it actually has a funny Latin name.
Yeah, actually, some of them will go into a nymph phase.
That's early on.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of what the adult insect phase is.
I actually want to look this up for my Google.
The picture I sent them in my head of an adult human was a modified version of Feral's humanoid-looking kind of mech.
Oh no, I guess it is just called the adult stage. So that's a shame. I couldn't use a really great word for it, like, you know, pupa or something like that. Like, oh shit, the adult humans are coming for us. Oh no, wait, an imago.
Imago, all right.
There's the imago humans. Evacuate! Evacuate the school! They all start slithering away. So, they haven't actually separated you from Freddy. The blue worms are, like, panicking. They're not sure what to do. They don't know if they should attack you or go to the defense of the school. They haven't been given an instruction.
Okay. I am going to... You know what? I think probably the best thing I can do is just, like, try to stay put and, like, bark pleasantries.
Okay.
Like...
So, all of the students scatter, except for...
The blues.
No, I was going to say, except for one. What do you want to name her? Because you're going to have to come up with an English name.
Okay.
Her worm name is like a sound that you can only make by forcing bubbles through your teeth.
You know what? I'm going to call her Jessica.
Okay. So Jessica still stays there, and she, like, slithers right up to the glass, and she's like, take me with you.
Can you get through the glass?
She comes up in the inside, and the blue worms all look at her, and she kind of looks around at them. When I say she, they're genderless, so they both.
I've just assigned her some sort of thing that I associate with femaleness in my brain.
Right. Anyway, the blue worms kind of back off for a second, and they're like, oh, okay. And then they like they squirm out, and you can see them go actually into the classroom and like squirm out through the orifice that serves as the door of the classroom. She's like, I have to get out of here.
You have to get out of here? I think we're under attack, and I think it might be... I don't think the people in my group know what this is.
What do you mean? Like, they don't know they're in a school?
No, I think they might...
What do schools look like on your planet?
They're like big rocks that have rocks with holes in them, and then the people go inside. I think they don't... They might not even know that you're intelligent. They're dumb. The people... Well, okay, they're not all dumb, but... The people attacking might be dumb. You know how I talked about how there are adult humans that are dumb? The adult stage? Well...
Yeah, I know that was bullshit.
Okay.
I know the human's life cycle.
You can come with me. Freddy has a... This is awful, but whoever first hurt Freddy put a dry hatch and a wet hatch. And so one of us can be in one and one of us can be in the other. And I know how to pilot the wet one, but you could be in the dry one and we could go, if we can escape, you could come with us.
I don't want to be anywhere dry. That sounds terrifying.
Well, by dry, I just mean that it's not,
No, you could use the wet brig. Do you guys have like
She could probably actually just be in there with you. She doesn't take up a lot of space. Okay. It's like a boa constrictor.
Alright. Let's get inside.
You know, we'll wing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys mount up in Freddy. You can actually, once you're inside and you're in the Matrix, you can feel Jessica in there too. And she's like, oh, wow. This is so gross, but it's also awesome at the same time.
I'm so happy. All right.
Anyway, you can try and like... You might just kind of have to like bite your way out of here. There doesn't seem like there's a good solution for an escape. She's like, you got extruded down here through the elevator, or the word that she says translates as elevator. So it was like, so it basically you're not getting out again unless the superintendent wants you to. Superintendent means worm pilot.
Yeah. Where does everyone get? So is there like a general? Is there a thing we could walk up, or is it so? It's just an elevator.
Oh, yeah, gosh, how are we going to get out the top? Because, you know, it'd be easy to get out the bottom, but then we'd just be in the freaking, you know, then we'd just be in the highway, and that's, like, terrifying. I guess we gotta, it'll heal. Let's just claw our way out.
Okay.
Your thing has, like, hard claws, right, that can tear flesh?
Totally.
Oh, my God, that's so terrifying. It's being made of a gun.
So, is this like a narrative thing, or do I?
Yeah, you can just. I just wanted to reunite you with the rest of the party. So you, okay. We can say that you kind of claw your way out of the thing. You know, it's a school. When you're heavily armed, you can kind of just waltz right through it. So, you guys are still in the thick of it up there. Oh yeah. So, did I stop one of you when you had a thing that you wanted to do?
No, I think we were just on cleanup duty. She went down the hole.
Right.
I was looking for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you have no idea which building they would be, which worm they would be, and there's literally hundreds. So, but as I was saying, so there's, you can see the pilot, you can see the superintendent. Again, you don't know that's what that is, but, mm-hmm. Right. It's pretty obvious to you that this is the central nervous, you can see the central nervous system of the worm. And there's a significant wave of blue worms coming, you know, spiraling up its length towards you.
Is there a way to get to the cortex without engaging all of the worms?
Yes, actually. You would be moving towards them, but you would definitely beat them there.
Well, then I think that's the plan.
Okay. Incidentally...
By plan, I mean headlong rush.
Incidentally, the inside of the worm is exceptionally soft. Membranes and barriers that, you know, one would have to... Like, a worm would have to crawl around would probably not even slightly impede your weapon, so you may not even need to go all the way down there. It's, like, 40 feet away. So, you know, if you want to... just light it up. That is totally an option. And you don't have... There's not a suggestion. I'm just letting you know that you are Superman in a house of paper. Mm-hmm. This is not going to be a thing that impedes you.
I think as I get lower, I want to try on the comms to see if I can pick up Starfish.
Okay.
All
right. So, Starfish, tearing your way through fleshy membranes, trying to escape Johns Hopkins University.
as one does.
This campaign produces the best sentences. You suddenly get, like, some crackling comm connection from the rest of the group, and you start to hear them being like, and you're like, shit, they're all over me! Give me some cover! I'm like, alright, Badger, you know the drill. Drive them back. And then you hear Rocket being like, hey, are you there?
Starfish, are you down here?
I'm trying to get out of the school. It's all school, but I don't know, the medical building.
There's a school of worms. I'm gonna try and disable the cortex or something here. Can you triangulate on my position at all?
They're not all schools. Just the one worm is a school.
Okay, the one worm is a big...
The others are just the rest of... Where is Johns Hopkins University?
No fucking idea.
Is it in Boston?
This is Worm Oculus.
Yeah. Somewhere, like, the other worms are other buildings.
It's in West Hopkins.
West Hopkins.
In West Hopkins.
I'm at the university. I don't know if I could try and get... We're trying to get out.
Jessica's like, oh, don't do that. You'll kill the super.
Don't. Wait, what's the cortex?
Well...
I'm asking Jessica.
It's like, it's where the person who drives the worm is.
Like a school bus?
Basically, yeah. His job is to make the worm, you know, function.
And
if you
like,
kill it...
fight us and stuff?
Oh. Well, I mean, no. She's like stuttering. She's like, but.
You don't know she's a worm, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You just hear a girl on my comm.
I'm just assuming it's Freddy, actually.
If you.
I'm she gonna say, can I translate her through me, Freddy, as like a 16-year-old girl?
She's having a hard time understanding, like, what's going on, like, all your humanese, because the rest of them aren't plugged in. But she conveys to you that if the super were to die while piloting the worm, it would cause a chain reaction that could kill everyone in the building.
Okay. If you kill the man in the cortex, it's going to kill all of the civilians in the building, and you can't do that. That's a war crime.
They attacked us.
No, you... How? What happened?
We offered them the opportunity to surrender, and...
You went in just to the town and told them to surrender to you? Why?
Strike said that.
Strike said that?
Yeah.
Not Badger? But why were you... Why did you need them... why did you ask them to surrender? They're not a military force.
So they wanted to attack us, I guess. I don't know. They then issued ultimatums to us and said that they would kill us if we didn't surrender.
Well...
So then we shot them, and they shot us back. And now I'm gonna kill this thing here.
No!
And...
It's full of civilians.
Well...
They're... Like,
they should have voted for a
children.
Less asshole mayor. That
I don't know if they're children, but I. You can't just kill kids because you don't. What are you doing?
I was trying to rescue you.
I'm coming out. We need to go. We need to go. We need to get out of here. Did you bring the convoy here?
The convoy's already in the middle of it.
Okay. Well, we need to get it through and just get out. We can't.
You're digging while you're having this conversation,
yes.
And you actually get up to the mouth of the worm, where there's teeth, which actually are fairly hard. This is not going to be trivial. You're going to need to actually use some weapons
okay.
to get through here. I'm not going to make you roll. It's not like they're fighting back. I'm just letting you know that at this point, it's going to be necessary for Freddy to actually do some property damage.
Yeah.
But you bust out of the teeth and, like, land, and right in front of you is the convoy.
Oh, snap.
And Dr. Hukov is just sitting there on a jeep, like, you know, leaned back in the chair, and he looks over and he's like, hello.
We need to go. And I'm just yelling through a loudspeaker on my Mac at this point.
Yeah, okay.
Or whatever.
Can I hear this at this point?
I'd assume you could hear what I'm yelling at Rocket.
Are you still in communication with them?
Yes. Well, no, with one.
Can you tell him to stand down?
She's not in control of that.
Well, then I don't have
a sophomore.
I don't have a lot of options here, then, because I can't talk to them.
Can everyone hear this conversation? Is this public, or is this just between them?
If she's out, it may actually...
It might be public.
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't think everyone heard I'm a sophomore. I think she said that just to you. She can hear what you hear, but what she says only to you.
Okay.
So can I hear start this half the conversation now? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Starfish.
Yeah.
Are you in communication with
you can
Rocket?
You can hear yes. everything but Jessica.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
Rocket, fucking kill it. Bring it down.
What? No.
These
stop.
Things are swarming us. We need
they're like, it's like dogs. They're gonna hurt, of course.
Okay, so we killed some dogs. Whatever. Why are you crying? They're dogs. Whatever.
Well, there are.
Bring it down, Rocket.
It's
the time has come to make a decision, Rocket.
No. Their decision's already made.
Okay.
Like, she wasn't able to communicate with it to say, back off. So I'm going to communicate it with the way I usually can. And I think, assuming I've gotten close enough. Actually, no. I've got two holes. I am close enough to the cortex that I can close the distance before they have time to react or adjust, and then I'm going to stun the fuck out of it. Which won't kill it, so maybe she'll be happy, but it'll hopefully knock everything out, so maybe, or he'll be happy, and everybody will be happy. No one will die, everyone will fall unconscious that I don't like, and I can get out of here.
So you're stunning the cortex?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then gonna try and get out of Dodge.
Okay, do you need to roll anything for this attack, or does this go through?
That's up to you. I get next to it before it has time to react or adjust. So basically there's nothing it can do. But if you want me to roll guns blazing or
I want you to roll to escape,
okay.
But the effect of your attack will also be rolled in with that. I'm going to call the escape A keep your, or what, it's not keep your cool, or is keep your cool going both? It's a hold your ground, actually.
Yeah.
But it's not really holding your ground, but you get the idea. Your ground in this case is dealing your damage and getting out of there.
Keep cool during combat?
Yeah, I would say it'd still be keep your cool, because that's the same stat.
Okay.
I mean, you're obviously welcome to overrun me, but...
I took fight fire with fire. When I keep my cool during combat, I can roll fire instead of steel.
Oh.
So I'm happy about this.
Okay.
Awesome.
So I'm going to shoot my way out.
That's actually even more appropriate then. This is everything I wanted from this.
Oh, that's only a six.
Do you have a nine goes to a six?
That's a four.
Oh,
the skull and crossbones
are bad. Skulls are bad. Skulls are bad. Well.
Hmm. Okay. So, you know what? A six is a total failure, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So you shoot the work. So bad news bears. It turns out that the worm inside the cortex, the stun could stun a mech, but it kills the pilot.
Mm.
So there's good news and bad news to this. The good news is that the blue worms suddenly just stop and actually. Like, it's almost, you remember what I was talking about, the Matrix thing, the swarm is, like, spiraling up towards you. They suddenly just fire in every direction. Like, they just, it was a tight coil, and then it just explodes, with worms just running around randomly.
What are they doing on the surface? Same thing?
No, actually. The ones on the surface, you've actually pretty much mopped up.
Oh, okay.
At this point. I was, like, you guys had them fully on the run, and they were a swarm, so.
Okay.
They don't have a lot of give once they're in retreat. They're just dying.
Fair enough.
But the worm immediately starts contracting in on you, Yanni, and it's going to be, like, all of a sudden what was a surface that you could climb on with your feet mm-hmm. is now, like, trying to climb on wet tissue paper. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know what? That roll was the roll to escape, so you don't. The worm just contracts on you, and you're falling. Does anyone want to do something about this?
Yes. Rocket, which worm are you in?
You already know which one.
Already knows one? Yeah. I thought it went underground.
It sucked back into its 50-foot hole, which you were less than 50 feet away from.
I thought it was one of the other ones that cropped up.
No.
Oh, okay.
You guys actually haven't dealt with the other ones that cropped up yet. They're much farther away.
If I look down the hole, can I see the worm? It's gone. It's just a dirt hole now. Right?
Yeah, you can see the worm. It's not that far down.
I'm going to shoot a hole in its head and run.
Okay. By run, you mean jump.
Well, that's a six.
Uh-oh.
Oh, fuck. Yep. So I jump, and
was that a come to the rescue?
Yes.
Okay.
An attempt at one, anyway.
Is it fail?
It's just a six or six or less hard move.
Okay. Hard, so. Well, the good news is because of your vertical, you know, you guys are all very handy at vertical navigation, so you're not going to die from falling damage. What you are, however, going to do is miss the worm entirely because it turned, it shrank into a really tight, like...
Muscle.
Yeah, like gross shriveled mass really quickly. So you, and this is a 50-foot hole.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're not that big in it. You're a hot dog in a hallway. So you just, like... So you just fall right past it. You're like, oh, crap, there was nothing to get into. So you can grab onto a wall at some point. But
I'm not gonna fly.
Yeah.
So I heard a story about there being a highway underground. But if I can't go up, down's the only way to go.
You can't go anywhere. You were just inside. Imagine you're inside a...
stick of beef jerky?
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it. I was actually going to say you're inside a washcloth and someone wrings it out.
Mm.
So you're just suddenly like...
Oh, I thought it was on the bottom.
Thought, what was it? No, you were in the middle.
Oh, okay.
You were in the center of the worm. And in fact, you were more towards the top of the worm than the bottom.
Oh.
Because the cortex is actually fairly high up on it.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Yeah, you didn't have to go too far to see it. Anyway, so yeah, you're kind of straitjacketed right now by, like, gross, sinewy tendons. Strike, your team is gone. This is every commanding officer's worst nightmare.
I heard them communicating through the...
Yeah, yeah.
I know they're all alive. Mm-hmm. I know they're down that pole. So I'm actually going to set up a defensive posture right in front of the hole, and Badger seems to know what she's doing, and she's going in to rescue Rocket.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to hope that works and hold off whatever assault force is coming from those other two ones by my lonesome.
All right.
Well... he's up here.
He's with the combo.
Which is not that far away,
but I can yell at you.
No.
So that's my goal is just to
let's
hold this objective.
Let's do that then. Okay, so these other two worms go up, and they sort of like stop at a moment where they're just like a little bit above the surface. They bend over and touch the ground again. And then they open up, then like you can see them like shudder, and then they lift up and suck down, and there are two mechs that they had regurgitated. These are not blue worms. These are full like combat mechs, and they're actually pretty scary. You're fairly familiar with it, like you've seen these on the battlefield before. I guess we're gonna call these aces. That is your guys' tagline for them, because when they show up, they're your level, and there's two of them.
Okay.
And it's 10:15. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys feel about me ending there? It's a little bit of a cliffhanger, I know, but...
Can we end it on my stand firm roll with this?
Huh?
Can we end it on my stand firm? Like, all right, I got this. Let's do this shit.
Okay.
Just hold the line until I can get Rocket, and then we can come to the rescue.
What I'm hoping for, but no.
And can we... So that might interact with the fact that I have come up and I'm screaming, stand down, you're killing civilians.
Those are not civilians!
Well, but it's not the mechs, I'm just, you know, because yeah, I'm assuming in the building.
That's a total of six.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, right.
The audience, you guys don't see this, but the audience sees the mice pilots inside the mechs, and they're human converts. They don't look exactly like Ix because they have different modifications, so they don't have beaks, but like one of them has like compound bug eyes, and the other, I'm gonna say, has actually like mind flayer tentacles instead of a mouth.
Nice.
And the one with the bug eyes is like, civilians! That's adorable.
So happy.
So did Rocket kill the big giant worm, or just the pilot driving the worm? The big giant building
worm. The big giant worm contracted into a piece of beef jerky. Yeah, it died.
It died. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I guess from the outside, you can also see that there is an absolutely devastating flash flood of orange ichor that just burst out of the skin as it tightened up.
So Rocket now has the highest kill count and the most maimings.
Not that any of you know this, but in point of fact, probably not too many civilians actually died in that building, because that was an attack building. It was one that came out of the ground because enemy was there.
Oh.
So they were expecting combat. And B, they probably would have evacuated any non-combat personnel before engaging human mechs. I mean, it's not like you didn't warn them. You said, the city can... We are taking this whole freaking city. Surrender or die. So, at that point, they were probably pumping the women and children out the bottom pretty rapidly.
I resent that.
But my character wouldn't have known that. I mean...
No, none of you would have known that.
Yeah, so...
No, that's why I didn't say anything until now, after the session is over.
This is to make us all feel like less like the villains, even though we're totally the villains.
No, actually, I was just trying to be realistic. When Will's team killed tons and tons of civilian, that was also realistic because they fell on them from fucking space and gave them no opportunity to respond.
Whoops.
It was just like, ah, get him!
This podcast is fully copyrighted by its hosts. Visit us at podcastmagicmissile.com. I, Podcast Magic Missile, attacking the darkness since 2012.